Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and anything happen in wrestling this week?
Don't think so.
Well, let's shut it down then.
In the meantime, and in between time.
Let's go to the strippers. I always almost fascinated by that ping pong ball trick your mom does on stage.
Yeah, yeah, she's good at that. She's good at that. All right, well, we got another week. Right after Money in the Bank, we had another fourth week in a row, I guess we'd say, of another newsworthy Monday Night Raw.
Certainly, yeah. Monday Night Raw, was, stuff happened on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, stuff happened on it.
It did. It did.
In fact, one thing happened at the end of it that's happened 5 years in a row around this time.
Yes, that is true. Vince McMahon has been relieved of his duties.
Yeah, this time he wasn't killed or just maimed.
No. Relieved of his duties by Triple H, the new on-air owner or control person or whatever you want
to
say.
I mean, he's CEO, I believe that's
I
it.
I have no idea.
He's CEO or something along those lines.
Of WWE, not Monday Night Raw, but WWE.
Yes, that's right.
So
that's right. It's a new regime, folks.
It's a new regime. Not now we don't have a McMahon in charge. We have someone in charge that's going to be told what to do by a McMahon.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not talking about Stephanie, folks.
Oh, I kind of was.
Okay.
But
same thing.
But, yeah, so for the, what are we looking at, the fifth year in a row. Now, Vince McMahon has been somehow taken off television permanently.
Yeah. But this time, unlike when he was killed, I mean, when he was killed, it was a little bit different because there was a situation, real-life situation. Which they couldn't ignore, but when he was paralyzed or in a coma from Nexus beating him up or had a stage fall on him and all this stuff.
He sold it to Donald Trump.
Yeah, he sold it to Donald Trump. That one they had actually fixed, but a couple of them they just ignored. This one they won't be able to ignore.
Well, let's go through. I mean, the first one in 2007, the limo blew up, and of course the Chris Benoit situation had them pull out of that. Ooh. Yeah. 2008, the stage collapses. And I don't remember how they got out of that.
They just ignored it. He just showed up again one time.
Yeah.
And the best part was the stage collapse on him, and everybody's wondering who did it and what, and he's out there, and Hunter comes out to him, and he's, Paul. He's calling him
Paul and Hurt. Yeah, I remember that. And then 2009 is when he sold Monday Night Raw to Donald Trump. And then
stock prices went way down.
I forget what the
That's what it was. They sent out a press release. Trying to push it off as real.
They did do that.
And then the stock price plummeted.
There was something else, though, that they just panicked on it. And like, a rating or something happened,
maybe.
And they just pulled the plug on it completely.
Oh, if that's the case, they'll pull the plug on this.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in a bit. And then, of course, last year was Nexus, put him into a coma.
Yeah, until he woke up in Stephanie's dream.
Yes, exactly, and so then he was able to return to television.
Yeah, because Leno was about to lose an election.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah,
for the first time.
Yeah,
and now it's Triple H.
First
so.
Of many, I'm guessing.
Well, I think two maybe. That might be it for her, but well, it turns out she's a senator of Connecticut anyway.
Yeah, she is. Heard. If you don't believe us, go listen to that show where we interviewed her, folks.
That's right, back in March, I believe.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so that's it. I guess we'll go over. Raw, just a little bit on how they came to this.
Yeah, what the hell?
The build. I mean, Vince comes out with Johnny Ass at the beginning, sporting a nice shiner because Cena apparently did actually hit him hard way.
Yeah.
And
well, Cena, like everybody else, has probably been wanting to.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know.
I mean, I know I
do. He NATO'd him.
And I'm not even a member of the company.
No. Well, again, go back and listen to our show where we discussed douche or no douche.
Well,
we played that game in the archives,
we
came to him. He was a douche.
Yes. This week's We Talk Wrestling, brought to you by former We Talk Wrestling episodes.
Yeah.
But then he comes out
shit,
and
they're good shit.
They're good people.
Shit.
But he comes out and announces that he's never going to say CM Punk's name again.
Shit.
And that he did much like Benoit. Right, it was basically a Benoit speech. You can rest assured that his name will never be heard on TV again. And you know he's an ingrate and he's the worst person in the world. And it was a paraphrasing of what he said.
Yeah. Meanwhile, what they had said was what they did to the live crowd was just before they went on air or, you know, with that was, hey, the WWE management does not want you, Justin Roberts said this to the crowd, does not want you chanting CM Punk's name as part of the show. You have been forbidden from chanting his name. So say that off air. Of course, that's going to get the crowd riled up chanting his name.
Well, that was the hope. It didn't happen.
Well, it came across well on TV, but I guess in the crowd, he was largely still a heel to many people.
Well, no, it was the fact that they chanted CM Punk's name when Vince was out.
Yeah.
They were hoping that it would be a We Want Flair moment.
That's true.
That's what they were hoping, is that CM Punk's name was going to be chanted start to finish on this show, so that the WWE would have to bow to pressure.
Like in Calgary, when they chanted Bret Hart's name start to finish on the show, and they never put him on air.
That's right. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. But that's what they were hoping, and it didn't happen.
No.
But then Vince comes out and says he'll never name him again, and then he announces an 8-man title tournament.
Yes.
To crown a new WWE champion, or
with everyone in the Money in the Bank except for Evan Bourne.
WWF champion, as Vince would tell Ray. But he comes out an 8-man tournament, and this is the part.
Getting old, folks.
This is the part that I kind of popped for.
Okay.
Because Vince then went to the Titantron and talked about the matches.
Yeah.
He's like, and he's like in the tournament matches. And I was just waiting for him to go, this week on the Superstars of Wrestling.
Yeah.
Because that was the mode he was in. He's like, the master of the 619, Rey Mysterio takes on the United States champion Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
He's like, the high-flying Kofi Kingston takes on last night's winner of the Money in the Bank, Alberto Del Rio. And he was in Vince announcer mode, which is
absolutely
blast to the past nostalgia. I really enjoyed that part of it.
Yeah.
And then the show.
And then somebody asked him what Dolph Ziggler's finisher was, and he said it was what a maneuver.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, and then the show started though.
Yeah.
And I took a 5-hour energy.
See, this is where we disagree. See, I didn't like the final segment as much as you did, but I enjoyed the show itself more. This show had a lot of pretty solid wrestling. It wasn't overly booked with storylines or a lot of bullshit. It was just generally a wrestling-heavy show, and I thought the wrestling was very good, particularly the Ray and R-Truth match.
Well, the Ray and R-Truth match was good. I did enjoy that. To me, it was just, I was just watching this tournament, and, you know, when you talk about, Ray coming out against Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, the U.S. champion isn't going to... And to me, it was very predictable. It was a paint-by-numbers type tournament in that, okay, Ray, I know Ray's going to win.
Okay.
Ray is going to beat Dolph Ziggler.
And The Miz is going to beat Alex Ryan,
right?
Sure.
And in that case, it was...
But I did not know if R-Truth was going to beat Jack Swagger. That was an interesting matchup.
I didn't care.
No, neither did the live crowd, actually. That was,
I did
that
not
was the problem.
Care.
You had two heels. They did not care.
You had two heels that they elevated briefly and then yanked back down to some sort of mid-card comedy, R-Truth being the more recent version of those two.
Yeah.
But the story is the same.
Yeah.
With both of them. So I didn't care about that. And the fact is you had two
heels.
But
I did, because it was a chance to reboot either character, particularly the sweater.
Why?
It was a chance
okay.
to reboot it.
But
it was a chance.
I looked at the winner of that match is going to lose to Rey Mysterio. That's all I saw. So I was like, fine. And then you move on to Kofi Kingston and Alberto Del Rio. To me, I guess...
Kingston won. That was an upset.
This was the upset. This
sure.
was the surprise. I didn't go in interested, but I was surprised by the outcome.
Yeah.
So I thought,
then they actually gave Kofi a little interview segment backstage talking about how he's going to win the title and win the whole thing. And
yes,
I enjoyed that as well.
Read a brilliantly well-read scripted interview.
But it was fine, though. You know what? It was fine.
It was okay. I liked the concept. I didn't like the execution. But and then you had Miz and Alex Riley, 714, and Miz finally wins.
Yeah.
And so that was fine. And at this point, I'm going, okay, well, I guess it's... I mean, I'm looking at it going, okay, well...
It was strange, though. They had
Miz against...
They had two heels against each other in Swagger and
Truth.
And then they had two faces against each other in Miz and Riley.
That's right, yes.
We'll get there, too.
Miz not quite a face, but it looks like they're going there. But, yeah, we'll go there. But, I mean, at this point, I mean, we're into round two, and it's like, okay, well, this is a Miz and Rey final.
Yeah.
Because this ain't a Kofi Truth final.
No.
So, at that point, it's like, you know...
Not unless Michael Hayes was booking it.
No, exactly, right? So, or Bill Watts.
Yeah.
But I look at it, and I said, okay, well, it's, so that's where we're going, right? And then it's thinking, fine. And then,
so all these Hayes matches booking, they wouldn't even be in the tournament.
No, that's true. Yeah.
Michael Hayes, by the way, actually, I should be careful, because he's sitting beside me. He's an in-studio guest today.
Mm-hmm.
Say hello, Michael.
Monday night is when Raw is on.
Was that your Michael Hayes impression?
Hmm?
Put a little more into it than that.
What?
Give me a little more. You know, give me a little.
Is Michael Hayes, you wanted Michael Hayes to say something?
Yeah, Michael Hayes.
Oh.
Said hello,
well,
Michael.
Hello, we talk wrestling.
There you go. Well, that was South
Oh, Park. Hello, Michael. Moving on. We've got, so here it is now, it's going to be Rey and Miz in the final of this tournament. And that's been all the matches on the show, has it not?
There was a Divas 7-on-7 1-minute match.
Yeah, fine.
Where nobody tagged in.
Beth gets the
win. Environmentally, I thought that was irresponsible.
What?
Like 14 Divas. And not them on the air for only 1 minute. All that hair spray and makeup.
Oh, my God. Could you, you know, really?
I mean,
that's just...
I wouldn't be a douche for thinking that.
I'm appalled by the principle of the thing. Man. But anyway, then we get to the final segment, and I was looking at the time myself going like, holy shit, we've got to have this match, and we've got to have the Cena firing at this point.
Yeah, right? I watched it on YouTube, so I actually wasn't aware of how late it was.
And I'm watching, and there it is, and then all of a sudden, of course, Rey's ready for the match, and Vince comes out. Says, you know, we're going to move it to next week. Says, Rey, you will get your chance to be WWF champion.
Okay. We're not going to talk about Vince without talking about that jacket. That was awesome.
That was a tremendous jacket. That's cheap heel heat, though.
Yeah.
You know, that's
to me, it made him a baby face wearing that pink-purple jacket.
Oh, it's what it was. It was a big pink jacket with gray pants, and that's the part that made me.
It was pink. Jimmy Hart wore that in
1985.
It had a few blue veins in it. It reminded me of, because it was big, of my penis. Or the little jacket, yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really?
That's
what I've heard.
Vince wears your penis a lot, does he?
Yes, he does.
Okay. That explains the strut. But anyway.
Explains why he's such a fan of naked Shawn in the shower.
Yeah. But he comes out and he's about to fire John. Well, okay, no, he calls out John Cena.
Yes.
John Cena, I think he
John Laurinaitis was there again, by the way.
No, he wasn't.
He was on TV, that's not at that point.
No, we said earlier, he came out with Johnny Ass.
Yeah,
we said that
already. Yeah. He's now a regular on-screen character. That may actually be his role in the company right now, from what it appears.
Well, maybe. We'll
lost a lot of power.
Give it a couple seconds here. Let's finish up with Raw. And so Vince is talking, and then all of a sudden, John Cena comes out. He's not asked to come out. He comes out, and he says, look, I know what you're about to do, and I'm okay with that, but I love what I do. This is what I love to do, and if you fire me, don't you think for 1 second I'm not going to walk onto someone else's television program and continue doing what I love to do, brother.
Yeah, what I'd like to know is, how come it is that I'm the one with ADD, and you're the one whose name is Addy?
Mm-hmm. So, John Cena, and that actually got an ooh.
Actually, here's the
from
thing.
The
okay,
crowd.
Everybody's referencing that the WWE made a subtle acknowledgement of the existence of TNA and Impact Wrestling.
Right.
I didn't see it that way. When watching it, my immediate thought was, he's referencing, and this is especially Vince McMahon referencing, because Vince McMahon would have had a say in the dialogue here, referencing Hulk Hogan having difficulty in his company and leaving his company in 1994 to go to WCW. That's how I took it.
Yeah, no. No, he said he would immediately walk onto someone else's television, brother.
That's how I still think Vince McMahon meant it.
Well, it's perhaps, but I don't think John Cena meant it that way.
Well, I don't know.
Vince, maybe. If Vince did, that's the only one.
Well,
you and Vince are the only two people in the world.
That's how I took it, because that's to Vince, that's more relevant. that Hulk Hogan left him and went on somebody else's television in 1994.
That's fine to them, to him and you, but it's not. And that was a TNA reference. I mean, it was. Implied or not.
It was implied
or by accident,
I agree with that.
It was a TNA reference.
Yeah, it ended up being, because that's what everybody said, but that's how I don't believe that's what was meant.
Well, either way, he comes out, and that got a little bit of ooh from the crowd.
Yeah.
That did get a little bit of ooh.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden...
From the 13,000 people there, the three that watched TNA, they oohed.
That's fine. Well, no, there's another three that watch TNA, but there's also probably there about another 1,000 people that know it exists. And think it's shit.
For instance, they rented the video game and knew that was shit.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I said think it's shit, I should say know it's shit.
Yeah.
But, and then, he's a bit, you're not going to spoil this for me, John Cena, and then all of a sudden, it's all about the game, and how you play it.
And we had been referencing last week how we were thinking and wondering, we were just been waiting for him to show up in the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
In some form or another.
Well,
he didn't show up in the form I expected, though, here. So that was cool. I mean, I did not expect this.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I enjoyed the show in the wrestling portion more than you, and I thought it was good from that perspective. This segment, I can't say what wasn't interesting, and you said it reminded you of the Attitude Era. Is that correct?
It did. This show, the way the show ended, you know, not the actual, and not necessarily in the execution, not in what was said, not was... done even. It's just the way the show ended with a change in the power structure of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Said that Vince, you're gone, and now there's someone actually replacing in Hunter. That it going off the air that way, where there's no loose ends tied up. And the reason it reminded me of the Attitude Era, as I said, is that this is now coming off the heels of a pay-per-view where there were no loose ends tied up because Punk won and the questions are left.
Yes.
You know.
Something to make you want to tune in next week.
What's going on? What's going to happen at the SummerSlam? And what's going to happen on Raw, right? And you did the whole, you went from the Punk.
Well, it's
Punk's original promo, okay, and then you go, "What the hell are they going to do next week?" Well, you kind of knew because it was taped, right?
But
you wanted to see it, and then when they did that, you're fired, and then so you see that, and then the next week you've got you find out Punk's going to be there.
Yeah.
Okay, what's he going to say? And then you do the contract signing, and there's the ice cream bar chant, and you do all that stuff, and then it still is left. Like, I'm leaving with your title, and it's like, okay, what's going to happen at
really
the pay-per-view?
Get it, isn't he gonna
what's
going
to happen at the pay-per-view? The intrigue. And then the pay-per-view ends with Punk as a champion. You're going, what the fuck are they going to do now? So you tune into Raw to see what the fuck they're going to do. You get a little bit of an explanation, whether you completely like it or not, or what they've left open. They didn't close the door on it. And then, and I'm starting to think, okay, this is a rather mundane show. This is again when we talked about the scene events when Punk wasn't on the week after, how it didn't ruin it for me. It just progressed the storyline.
Yeah.
It started to be another progressive storyline show until Hunter came out. And then when Hunter came out and they said, okay, you're relieved of your duties and I'm taking over now, it's the, okay, what do they do now next week with Hunter in charge? Does the Raw general manager finally get axed? Does Hunter go after Punk, like in terms of trying to sign him? Does he go after saying he's an ingrate? Does he try to turn heel? So there's lots of shit now, right?
And a lot of ways that storyline was progressed as well, off screen, off camera.
Well, that's right. There is that.
Well.
But we'll get to that as well.
In that,
I just wanted to say before you sort of let that whole Monday Night Raw go, it is, Vince, you're not going to fire John Cena. So boom, that's how they got out of it. Cena's still in play.
Yeah. What was interesting to me, a few things here. Number one, when they said, Vince, you're not going to fire John Cena, Cena just left the ring. Cena didn't stick around for the next portion. He just left the ring. He high-fived a few fans.
I was just saying, he was happy that he was still employed.
He gave him high-fiving Lance, some fans on the way out. And
yeah.
I think that was very interesting because you're used to him being there whether he needs to be or not in the final segment. So he just got the hell out of Dodge. So that was cool.
Well, I don't know if you heard, but judging from his mentor, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, what you didn't hear was under his breath after Hunter come in, he told him, he said, tell him to get the fuck out of my ring.
Yeah, yeah.
So I should mention, though, speaking of his mentor, the part that really kind of piqued my curiosity, and I was on the computer and I was tweeting with a lot of people and stuff, and I had it, and I don't want to say it was background noise, but Monday Night Raw largely had become background noise to me at this point.
Uh-huh.
And then when Cena came in and is waiting for the firing thing, and he goes, I'm not going to do what you did to Shawn Michaels. And I immediately looked up and went, who?
Uh-huh.
Shawn Michaels. Okay, what now? And, you know, and then, boom, and you know that was a Hunter line, you know, saying, you know, the greatest wrestler in the history of the company,
blah, blah, right?
I was like, okay, well, that's Hunter, right? But,
yeah.
But so he's going to, and then I thought he was going to go a different direction.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to go, you're not going to wear me out and run me down to the point where I got to be a drug addict moron that's got to take 7 years off. I honestly thought that's where they were going.
Okay.
But then he went with the whole, he screwed Brett, and I'm going, okay, that's kind of weak.
Well, actually, it made sense to me because it did. I mean, for Shawn Michaels for a lot of years, it didn't matter. He could have a five-star classic with Kurt Angle, and the next night, there's a chance that somebody in the crowd is going to start chanting.
Yeah, one person, though. When you talk about the five or the four people involved in that.
Here's the thing. It was regional. There was still portions.
Yeah, regional here.
No, some northern United States, and your Chicago's, and your
Earl got the brunt of that. Earl gets that chance to this day. Vince got that, then Sean. So, I mean...
But there was hardcore fans who would sit there going...
Not enough.
Great matches, but...
Not enough.
Well, there was some.
Not enough.
Not
enough is all I'm saying. There's some. I don't give a shit. There's eight.
I disagree with you.
Not enough.
More than eight. It was enough that it weighed on...
Fine.
I thought that... Let me fucking finish a sentence before cutting me off.
Say something intelligent.
I think there was enough that it weighed on Sean's mind, and I do believe that's part of the reason why he wanted to squash it with Brett. I really do believe that. Whether it was as much as he perceived, I do believe in his own mind it was always being carried with him, and the guilt was always carried with him for many, many years.
Well, I agree with that, but I don't think that's because of because the fans were chanting. I think that's his own internal "I'm a Christian now" guilt and just being an older, wiser person.
A little bit of both. I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, I don't think so.
A little bit of both, but anyways, that's fine. But it was fine. I mean, Cena was fine. Then he got the hell out of Dodge. Vince McMahon, who I am generally critical of because he has such a cartoon persona.
Mm-hmm.
I thought was very restrained in his performance tonight on that evening on Monday Night Raw.
On Monday, yeah.
I thought he actually did a really, really good job. Where they lost me was Hunter.
Hunter not so good.
They haven't been a lot of public acknowledgement of where Hunter's role in the company is on screen, but off screen has been enough. I don't think it shocked anybody to see him come out there, but I do think the point where he's going,
I
love you, Paul.
I think it shocked some people. I'll tell you the two things when he said, I think, and that's pretty much largely the consensus there, when he goes, I love you, Pops.
It was too much. And
that may very well be what he calls him at home in Connecticut, his Pops. Like, he may very well call Vince McMahon. But
maybe.
It's different eight people, but eight people also know that.
Yeah.
And it just sounded corny and cheesy. I'll tell you where he lost me.
And you know what? They were building up to it, too, and you could see their
I know.
Well,
and Hunter looked
like
he was
going,
so proud
don't do
of
it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Don't say something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said it, and the crowd fucking laughs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So did I. Well, for the second time, because I'll tell you where the first time I laughed is when he said, you have been relieved of your duties. Hunter said duties.
So, being some butthead, what did you think of Hunter saying duties?
He said duties. Hey, that was pretty cool. He totally said duties. Thanks, guys.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Anyways,
Michael Hayes.
Michael Hayes.
What do you think? What did you think about that?
Well, Raw was on Monday.
All right.
Thanks, Michael Hayes.
Thank you.
Yeah, he knew that, and
mm-hmm.
he thought he'd share it.
I
was already aware of that.
I'm glad he spoke up, though.
Yeah. Anyways, he lost me there. So, It felt a little bit of a force. Now, we talk about Vince, though. In the last several years, last 5 years, he has desperately wanted to be consistently a babyface. The stage falling on him, the Bret Hart match, he was sure he was going to come out of that a babyface. This situation, kind of crying in the ring, or whatever he was able to bring up to do that, a good performance, and the crowd chanting, thank you, Vince. He really doesn't want to go out as a heel. He doesn't want to be seen as that, just that Mr. McMahon character, because it's being so overriding in such a heel manner. He wants to, I think he, you know.
The thing is, as much as we talk about Vince McMahon and sports entertainment and how he wants to bring this company to a new level and blah, 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 I mean, he knows the business. He knows wrestling, whether he wants to call it that or not. He knows the history of professional wrestling, because
he lived it.
And he knows. I mean, you look at all these guys. I'm trying to think of a good. I'll give you an example, an obscure example. I'm trying to think of the most obscure example I could think of, and it's Giant Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Giant Gonzalez got whatever it did. He got sold, or the contract changed hands with Adam Baum and such, and Giant Gonzalez actually turned babyface.
Yes.
Right before he left.
Yeah.
Right before they were done with him. Because in Vince McMahon's always done this, is that you leave as a babyface.
Yes.
And that's what he's trying to do.
Even people who are career heels towards the end get cheered.
Gets a little bit
you
of baby.
Even the Sheik, the most feared and vile heel of his era, at the end of his career was a babyface.
Look at Nikolai Volkov.
Yeah.
Okay, same idea. He becomes from Lithuania, American, bye-bye. You know, USA and Lithuania now are so great people and blah, blah, blah. And then now he's a babyface, right?
Yeah.
Before
he's
done.
Teaming with...
Of course, then he joined the Million Dollar Corporation. But they didn't want to.
He didn't want to,
damn
no.
it. But then they dropped that. But anyway, I mean, people leave as babyfaces in Vince's company largely, right?
Largely, yes.
And that, if it's a planned departure, I guess.
And if it's a feeling that not just that it's a planned departure, but that the career
they've
is largely
it. Yes,
over.
That they've earned
and
it.
They've earned
and that's what he's trying to do here. And that's how I've taken it, is this, that Vince is this long-standing guy, but you know what? You know him, you love to boo him, but come on, don't you just love him? And that's what that's what they're playing on. And it worked. I mean, when he said you're relieved of your duties, then he got the na-na-na-na chant.
Yeah.
Right? And then he stood there.
Started to cry.
As Hunter left. And, well, no, you know how he got them, though? He went, thank you. He nodded. They weren't doing anything.
That's true.
And
he looked
at them and went, thank you. And then more people started clapping.
Yeah.
And he went, thank you again. And then more people started chanting. Yeah. And then people started chanting, thank you, Vince. And you know, Kevin Dunn stayed with it long enough, and it was a beautiful shot at the end because it was just crystal, and I'm sure they'll have some great footage of this for the coming Raw video opening package, because it literally was about 30 seconds, 20 to 30 seconds of thank you, Vince, enough time that they could put the tight shot of Vince's face there to end the show with them chanting thank you, Vince, in the background.
Okay.
It did work out perfectly that way.
So I think there's more to discuss on this topic.
Is there more to meets the eye?
But I think let's come back to it.
Okay, well, I just want to know, because we had another person we've had, Peeves and Butthead, we know what Michael Hayes thinks. Joey Lawrence, what did you think of Triple H now being the on-air authority figure, relieving Vince McMahon of his duties?
Whoa.
Wow.
Wow.
Huh.
He added more than Michael Hayes has so far.
He really has.
Well, let's come back to this. What I'd like to do is...
Shawn Michaels is the heartbreak kid.
Thanks.
Hey, Michael, why did you give him a microphone?
I don't know, man. I thought he'd have more to say than it's obvious.
So we just hand it to him when we need him to talk. But okay.
It's funny. I mean, we have him in studio here this time. Next show, we're going to have Mr. T in.
We will. I know.
I mean, that's cool that we have two black guys in a row.
I know. Which one is blacker?
I'm not sure.
Well, no, Mike. Take the microphone.
All right, let's get going there. What I'd like to do is I'd like to really break down a bunch of...
Sorry.
No, it's okay. You put him in line, man.
I have to.
I think a lot of people are speculating where they're going to go from here. So I'd like to spend some time fantasy booking, trying to come up with some different ideas, some different ways to go and what's better and what's not.
Okay.
But that's going to take a while. So let's table that and come back to that after we hit some more news.
Okay.
So why don't you get to your next topic there?
Okay, well, we're going to hit some some quick news. Staying with WWE, I just with Monday Night Raw in particular, I just want to really quickly talk about how, again, I've mentioned it before, but it's a continuation that I really like, that they did the John Morrison video.
Yes.
Especially around, they played the John Morrison video right before the Swagger R-Truth match.
Yeah.
Or before the Truth Ray match. I don't remember. Before an R-Truth match, though. Because they're like, John Morrison, ready to return, and then it's, and the truth will set you free. And then, R-Truth is walking in the ring, and Michael Cole goes, well, you know, John Morrison out at the hands of R-Truth. Like, they were able to tie it in there, and I just thought that was beautifully timed and perfect. And it's just, you know, it just, again, goes back to when WWE is clicking, you know, that's the kind of stuff that happens.
So let's talk about the WWE Championship. The fact that Punk leaves with it, and the next night they decide to do the tournament and crown a new champion.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that was a mistake? Do you like that? What kind of, where do you think they're going with that?
Well, can we table that question, because that gets into when you're talking about the fantasy booking that we want to hit after.
Okay, let's table
that. I have the perfect solution.
You have the perfect solution.
I have the perfect solution. Not Jeep Swanson. Not the ultimate solution. But I have
Let's talk about something. Let's continue on Raw. Let's talk about Michael Cole, his screw-up, saying that the WWE Championship is trending on Twitter right now.
Twitter was down. That was so awesome, because I'm actually on Twitter at the time. But now in Canada, we get a 15-minute delay.
Yeah.
Okay, but it still wasn't working. It was out for like half an hour.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's trending on Twitter. I'm going, how the fuck do you know?
What's great is that...
Well, it wasn't last.
This is the same guy who...
There's a guy.
This is the same guy, Michael Cole, who has said publicly he hasn't used Twitter since he called Matthews a fan.
Did you see that?
He called him a fan, right?
He called him a fag on SmackDown. Did you hear that? Did you see that SmackDown?
No.
Two SmackDowns ago. They're doing the commentary, and Booker T is plugging it as his Twitter.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm real Booker T on Twitter, right? And then and Josh Matthews is like, oh, yeah, I'm on Twitter, too. And then Josh Matthews goes, Michael Cole, are you on Twitter? And he goes,
that's right. Yeah.
Not anymore.
That's right.
It was
so
funny, because the reason he's not is
because
he called Josh Matthews.
That's great, though.
Yes.
So let's actually get into something a little more serious that occurred
on
there.
That's actually the reason that Ken Anderson, not on Twitter.
Yeah?
When you hear about that?
No.
On Impact?
Yeah.
Called Kurt Angle is Sting's butt buddy.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, that's acceptable.
That is acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah. But nobody watches the show, so no
one
will complain.
Well, he's an asshole, so you just expect it.
Apparently. Speaking of which, asshole, I've got a guest lined up for later tonight.
Is it for tonight? Is it for next show? When are we doing?
No, we're going to do it tonight.
We've been trying to get this guy on for a while.
I know. I've got him lined up.
He's like your number one fan.
Anyways,
let's talk about Raw. Let's talk about the ratings. I predict it coming. Who's our other in-studio guest? What do you have to say about the ratings?
Let us talk about the ratings.
Thank you, Russo. Anyways, the ratings. There are things. What, Michael Hayes, what do you have to say about the ratings?
Well, the ratings are compiled by Nielsen.
Okay. I thought he had some insight into
the
ratings
saying,
on this
like
show.
Very
but I said after Money in the Bank, I thought the show would do like a 3-4, 3-5. It did 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly up, but certainly a lot of people are citing that as a disappointment coming off of...
A lot of people are, yeah.
Yeah, the pay-per-view.
I'm not.
No, I think it really does speak, though, to the level of damage this company has done for so long.
Can I mention something before, just to open this conversation, to get sort of the ball rolling in what my stance really is with this. It's a 3.23 rating, so rounded down to 3.2.
Yep.
Okay. Which, they're talking about disappointment and such.
And SmackDown was 1.7, where it's been for a long, long time.
Highest rating since May 23rd for Monday Night Raw.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
So let's... I haven't heard a single... I went and I looked, because I thought, you know, it doesn't sound that bad. And I went and I looked. Highest rating since May 23rd.
Which,
so,
again, says the same thing. They did a lot of damage to their product.
2 months, though.
Yeah.
That's 2 months. This is the best rating in 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, and you talk about...
And the cliffhanger storyline ending the show theoretically should build into something else next week.
See, I don't see, and it may, and
but
that's an X
while.
Factor.
It takes a while to build it back up.
That's an Uncle Cracker song. That's an X factor because when you look at
also a shitty group.
yes. Hey, Albert was in it, but when you look
but
at
he wasn't the member that most sucked. Who sucked the most in that group?
I don't know, but he's stocking shells at Target, I think.
Yeah.
And taking Scott Hall to bars.
Yeah.
But I think that.
And he was a former guest on our show.
No.
Oh, wait. No, it's other
Credible.
Guy.
Jesse Credible has never been a guest on this show. In fact, I don't know that he ever will be.
No, actually.
He's welcome to come on if he wants to. But
I like to have listeners.
Michael Hayes, what do you think about Jesse Credible? Well, that was a wrestler.
Michael Hayes.
Okay.
I'm just going to mute him for like a little while here. Let's just get some actual.
Well, it's okay. So we'll
just
keep doing this. But
Mike, I want you to just tap me on the shoulder when you got something actually relevant to say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good with that.
Now,
okay.
I'll unmute you.
But anyway, so where we're going with this is that we talk about with the X factor of it, the cliffhanger ending. You know, last time we had a cliffhanger ending really was the Punk thing.
Yeah.
Right? And then, but then we went into the July 4th in the United States, right?
Yeah.
So
bad timing in that perspective.
It was just a bad timing situation. Then you have the July 4th rating, and now you've gone to a 3-2, right? So we went from, what, a 2-4 to a 3-2. No, we went to a 2-9.
Yes, they had a 2-9.
For that. So it did, it's hard to say, again, with the, you know, essentially maybe flat again. And I don't know. And again, the other part that nobody's talking about here is that Raw with their PG and they're going towards closer to children. You know,
it's been less PG over the last few weeks.
But their core audience still is kids now because that's what they've been targeting, and it's going to take a little while.
But the Punk angle though was not kids. The Punk angle was core audience was targeted towards. The hardcore.
I'm not talking about Target, though. You can target anybody you fucking want, but if only kids are already watching because that's who you've conditioned to watch your program, it's not that all of a sudden all these, you know, 25-year-olds are going to, or 35-year-olds are going to turn over all of a sudden.
No, exactly.
The same audience of kids is what's watching.
The same audience of kids is what's watching.
And those kids, it's summer.
Yeah.
They go on holidays and shit, right?
Yeah.
And that's the part that I'm looking at now, is that if I'm on holidays, on a Monday, right? When I went to Florida,
yeah,
I still watched Raw.
Yeah,
you know, because I've just conditioned.
But you weren't in the Nielsen ratings.
No, but I'm just conditioned to do it,
yeah.
And I'm an adult and I can do it. If I'm a kid, I got to go to the pool and I got to fucking go to the beach or.
But they have been targeting. Right? I do think there's something to be said though that they'd be targeting children for so long, and that's who the core audience is. And then you have a storyline pop up that is actually designed to bring in a different audience to the core audience than what they've been targeting for so long.
Yeah.
It's going to take a little while, regardless of the quality of it, or regardless of the buzz, for that audience to start to follow as well.
This is what we talked about it last time. I mean, Austin 316 is the blueprint of this, and it took a year and a half to 2 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And things move quicker now.
Yeah.
Than they did. So,
there's more social media now than there was then.
I'm of the opinion if they continue to do what they've been doing and they continue to stay the course and be on the right path, is that the next WWE explosion, if I can call it that, if they don't, you know, and again, they can drop the ball at any time, but if they continue this, you know, month-long course, if I can just draw a straight line and extrapolate this, okay, then to me, then if I'm willing to stipulate that what's happened in the last month is going to continue,
mm-hmm.
I would say the next explosion happens in April, after Mania. Mania is the auspices of the big boom explosion.
Mania at this point, you think, okay, it does a good 1.1, 1.2 million buys.
I'm not predicting
other things. Yeah.
I'm not predicting it. I'm just saying that if they do that, it's going to take that long.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that's what I don't hear. I haven't heard anybody, and I listen to people talk on the Internet and shit, and people are going, well, you know, they're a little disappointed by this, they're a little disappointed by this. Fuck, it's a marathon, not a sprint with this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what I'm saying. Is it realistically?
If you've done, from your booking style philosophy, if you've done 8 years worth of damage, you can't undo it in 8 days.
Well, exactly.
Regardless of how good the quality is.
No.
It's not possible.
No, exactly. I mean, you dug yourself in, you got to dig yourself out.
Yeah.
I mean, you can dig yourself out faster than you dug yourself down. But I'm still saying it. You know, we're looking 8 months away from Mania. You know?
Certainly, if you look at 1996, okay, it took them 18 months to dig themselves out. They dug themselves into it, though, for 5-6 years prior in that, really.
Probably about 5 years.
Four or five years.
After Hogan left was 92, right? The summer of 92. So I would say probably about there.
And even before he left, about a year before that, I think you could argue that they were.
You were still riding the crest. Though.
A little bit.
That was the.
I really think 1990 was the last. 1990 was Hogan. When Hogan lost to the Warrior, you started to see, that was where it started to go down. Just like it started to go down in 2002, but it wasn't as bad as it was in 2008.
You're right.
You know, in business as well. So it's just about the philosophy. Folks, relax. If you're a wrestling fan, you want it to be cool, you want people to be able to talk about it proudly and publicly, relax. It may take a little while, but there's some positive signs. Now, they can't screw it up at any point, like you say, but there's some positive signs right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said. I mean, they're on the right track. And, yeah, I mean, we'd like people to be able to kayfabe in public.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, versus kayfabing in private.
Yeah, like Justin Roberts.
Right, Mo?
Yeah.
But, all right, well, that I think, I mean, in terms of what happened on Monday Night Raw and whatnot, I think that's... we'll talk about the fantasy book. I wanted to mention something from SmackDown.
Okay.
If I could, and that's my boy, D. Bryan, Daniel Bryan, cashing in the Money of the Bank at WrestleMania. In, as he stated, the main event of WrestleMania.
This is what he said. Yeah, essentially, if you've missed the promo, they asked him, Michael Cole was out in the ring with him, berating him, saying how he was going to take the easy way out like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
When an opportune moment came, he was going to cash it in just like everybody else has done, which everybody but RBD has done. And
who's forgotten in this whole thing?
Yeah, who's forgotten logically, and it should be.
Daniel Bryan did say that I'm going to be the first
to
announce when he's going to cash it in.
And he announced I'm going to cash it in at WrestleMania in the main event.
Well, he announced, he said, the date, April 1st.
Yeah.
And no real reaction, a little bit of, okay.
Did they say April 1st?
Yeah.
That's April Fool's Day?
Yeah, ironically.
Okay.
That's WrestleMania. Yeah, it's
April I didn't realize that.
Yeah, April Hunter's Day. Yeah. But and then he said, the location, Miami, Florida, and that got people going, oh, my God, WrestleMania. Nobody knew the date this far out. But people knew it was in Miami for some, because they've had the commercials. Come to Miami and blah, blah. But the commercials have been more around Miami versus the date.
I think a lot of people go, The Rock is back in Mania.
Whatever it is, they recognize the city. And people, then that got the buzz going.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, okay, well, good. And so then he says, at the main event of WrestleMania, which I don't have a problem with. Because you remember this past WrestleMania. Remember, everybody was in the main event.
I told you, everybody should be saying that. Yeah. At the time, that was my argument. Mm-hmm. Was, Michael Cole was saying he's in the main event. John Cena was saying he's in the main event.
Alberto Del Rio was in the main event.
Everybody should be saying, I'm in the main event of WrestleMania, because you should make your match as important as possible. You should build that.
Also,
here's the other thing. I had mentioned after Money in the Bank that when we were recording our post-show, I wasn't sure what kind of reaction Daniel Bryan would get coming out. He got a really strong reaction, though, when his music played and he came out for the SmackDown taping. So that's another positive sign.
Did you hear the word you just used, though, the SmackDown what?
Taping. I know, but this is this is the live report, though, was that he got a strong reaction.
Well, coming out, he might have. That crowd was sweetened, though, when he was saying some things, because the crowd going on, and then they're actually kind of, you could see the crowd in the background, and they're not doing nearly as much as what the audio was.
I'm sure.
And let's just say it. I don't have a problem with that, because that built Hulk Hogan's career, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
So, but Daniel Bryan, then, so now we know.
Still does.
Now we know. We've got Daniel Bryan wrestling for the SmackDown Championship.
Well, we don't really know.
At this point.
Okay, but here's the thing. Is it part of a storyline where he's saying this, but he's going to turn heel? Is it part of them saying it because that's their intentions now, but they're going to change their mind? Or is it part of something that they're just saying without any actual idea where they're going? Just say it,
Well, like in this kind of, if you want to, I guess, played the same card here is Mirror Hunter.
Yeah.
Challenge Taker.
Yeah.
Well,
that's still going to happen if Taker's healthy.
Is it now?
Yes.
It is. Oh, okay.
It won't be Punk.
Oh, okay.
It won't be.
Well, okay.
If Taker's healthy.
Sure.
Taker's healthy, it won't be. It could be.
You say that you're too sure saying that.
Okay, I'm too sure. But
you are definitely too sure.
I still believe that. I know. But I tell you this. I really believe the voice of the voiceless has as good a chance of facing the conscience of the WWE at Mania as Hunter.
Put it that way.
Conscience.
I don't know. I understand now. I was trying to figure out who you were talking about. Now
you're
I know.
Talking about your consciousness.
Yes, now I know. Darren Young, you're talking about.
Yeah. But the conscience of the WWE.
Yes,
I understand.
The conscience.
Did I say conscience, by the way?
I don't know what you said. Really? I wasn't really listening.
Michael Hayes, what's your voice on the conscience? He wants to talk.
Well, Paul Bearer manages The Undertaker.
He doesn't any.
He used to.
Thanks, Michael. I'm going to mute him again.
Thank you.
Next time when he taps my shoulder, I'll ask him what he's going to say first.
Okay. Yes, please. Ask him.
Yeah. But anyways, I think you have as good a chance of that.
Well, yes. And you know what? The thing is that I like with Daniel Bryan having it. This is what I like about Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
No, what I do enjoy. That was great. David Bryan was the diver. Olympic diving. Or it wasn't Olympic, obviously. I was watching it at a store we were at. And
buy beer.
The liquor store. Fine. I was going to take the high road. We were at the liquor store. And there's a television on it. It's like spring.
Currently drinking.
It's diving. And, into the pool, like Olympic diving, only for whatever meet, the World
Bryan.
Cup. And the guy's name was David Bryan, and the female commentator we're in there, and all of a sudden, it's showing a replay of his dive, and she goes, you know, that's what I like about David Bryan. Oh, fuck, did we both laugh. And they almost didn't sell us the booze. But, anyway. The thing about Daniel Bryan and saying that is that there are still some possibilities. Maybe someone can beat him up heinously or challenge him for the briefcase. So the briefcase can almost be like another kind of, not like a title, but, you know, like a title. Maybe
why not? If you one of them early enough and then you do that with the other one.
I'm thinking only do that once, though. Put that briefcase on the line once. And where you do that, to me, is Tables, Ladders, and Chairs pay-per-view.
Because
you could have another ladder match for it, right?
Yeah.
So that to me would make sense. So, but it should be noted that I don't know if I even said this that Daniel Bryan is an Ed Koski guy.
Ed Koski, the new head writer of SmackDown.
We talked about last show that
he's the new
head writer. I think two shows in a row we actually talked about.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
so,
that's right. Yeah.
He is the head writer now. So Ed Koski really pushing for Daniel Bryan. Luckily, and for us, like Daniel Bryan, that you know. So hopefully,
I like Daniel Bryan a lot. There's nothing not to like about him. He's underrated on his mic skills. He's charismatic in the ring, and his mind for psychology for wrestling is among the best in the industry, among the best I think I've ever seen. But I will say this.
Okay.
He is not over enough for that spot right now to Mania. And we'll see if they're going to put a push behind him to try and get him ready for that spot.
Hopefully,
or if they're just going to let him kind of glide along and decide he's not over enough, so we'll pull it from him.
Well, you say you talk about A, pull it from him, B, three-way.
Yeah.
Right? Because, again, I don't mind one three-way.
Because you also have the Royal Rumble, right? The Royal Rumble winner wants to go after that, and he's still cashing it in.
Well, they're exactly, right? So there is that. And that's there's that possibility. I mean, the man that he's compared to so much on the positive side of things won the title in a three-way.
That's right.
Benoit, right? So
that's right.
It's
in an amazing match.
Well, yeah, exactly. Probably the best three-way match I've ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe the best Mania match ever. There's certainly an argument.
It's in the argument. I wouldn't.
I'd
put it in my top five.
Yeah.
It would be in my fave five.
Nice.
So
is that what you like about that match?
That is what I like about that.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, best of seven. But
okay, let's go back to this though. We're talking about their title reign. You have to stake. he's probably right now the number two face on the company, though. So let's talk about that.
In on SmackDown, you mean?
Yeah. On SmackDown, on that
him
that side
and
of the
brand. Kane, I guess. So maybe
Kane, that was out now again for
well,
several
yeah.
months due to Mark Henry did a
pilmanized him again. Yeah.
Mark Henry was, you know. Another good performance by Henry.
Oh, great performance by Henry. Again, I mean, the promo wasn't as good, but the in-ring for him, yeah, definitely was. And, yeah, definitely
I was setting you up for the joke that we had earlier talked about, and you forgot it.
I did.
That's okay.
What was it?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I just remember that I was setting you up with that line. I was hoping you remembered it.
Well, what did you say? What was the line?
I don't know. I was setting you up. Mark Henry looked good in the ring. There was supposed to be something you... It was
oh.
a line. We set it up when we were buying the beer. Remember?
Oh, no.
No?
No.
That's too bad.
That is. That
Let's
is.
Talk about this then. No, there seems to be a new face, though, on the brand who could quickly ascend to that number two spot, and I don't know if that's good or bad for the for Daniel Bryan. And that's a man
Sheamus.
That you and I have said many times. We think when they finally turn him babyface...
He'll make an excellent heel.
Yeah, we think I think he has great upside as a babyface,
mm-hmm.
and that is Sheamus. Now,
mm-hmm.
now, it wasn't so much that he hasn't had an official turn. It's just that the crowd is far more behind him than Wade Barrett when they wrestled each other in a match. But they were also going crazy for him at MITB at certain spots. I think he is, like I say, natural babyface. I really think he is. I think he's a good heel, too. But, you know, I'm curious as to storyline-wise where they go with him having turning, but also it does set up him versus Christian.
Well, we talked about it does. And the thing is, and I think hopefully that's where they're going, but there's a couple things that I like about this, is that...
That's what you like about this?
That's what I like about this. But I'm there's a few things here. One, we've recognized Sheamus's babyface potential, I guess.
Yes.
Another one is that I said, you know, Wade Barrett just has to be a heel.
Yeah.
But I like the two of them against each other.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, not just the, I mean, they are European, I mean, both of them, but I mean, the similar sizes.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I'll use the Razor Ramon type
mm-hmm.
body, I guess, is that, you know, these bigger guys, but athletic. In that they're not the Conkers.
No.
They're not the Mark Henry Big Shows. They're the bigger guys.
Even a Ryan Mason, someone like that.
Yeah, Mason
you
Ryan.
Know,
they're going to be
Mason
able to
Ryan,
work,
what I
right?
Ryan Mason.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah same
whatever.
Thing. Yeah. But anyway, they're going to be able to move.
Yeah.
Right? And so I like that match, Sheamus and Bryan.
Yeah,
I just,
for
I think
sure.
that I just really like that.
And also I think that you could say, theoretically, they both reached about a similar level. Even though one of them is the champion, one hasn't. But the feud that Barrett was in and the prolonged nature of it,
I would say Sheamus a little higher than
pretty close about the same though, and both I think about the same mic skills, both good mic
yeah
mic skills as well. So
to me they're I don't want to say they're carbon copies of each other, but they're
no,
both.
No, that's not right.
But
they're the same mold.
To me, if you were to say, I would say that they're both, you know, say 8 out of 10s, right? They're both.
Yeah.
In the same league.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And so, but I really like Daniel Bryan. I like Sheamus off his feud with Daniel Bryan coming in, and that's when I kind of noticed, I think this guy's going to be a baby face, pretty damn good
yeah.
baby face. And so I like that. There's
Well, I noticed it the first time he called a little kid fella.
Fella, yeah.
A little girl fella in the front row.
Yeah,
the crowd
yeah,
laughed
yeah.
and cheered him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, that's it. The guy's got the baby face good.
And I think
that was months ago.
But the two of them, I think you're right, with Christian there, that you can do the Sheamus Christian now match with a big...
But I do want a storyline behind it. I don't want him just facing Wade Barrett, and that's why he's a good guy all of a sudden. I want some sort of storyline behind it.
Kinda. I don't know. Why can't the storyline be these guys hate each other, and you know what? The crowd's really starting to get behind
that
Sheamus.
That can't be the storyline. But
and you
it
know
needs
what?
To be still.
And Sheamus is really starting to appreciate the fans now, too.
Yeah, that's fine. That's a storyline.
I guess it is
a storyline.
Story
it doesn't need to be a huge storyline.
I don't think they smash a coconut over his head.
That's good, too.
Good. But what I'm saying with this is what I like about this is what I started to go with this is that we've talked countless times about you know when Randy Savage turned babyface.
Yes.
Okay. They didn't change him.
No.
When Randy Orton Orton turned babyface the first time, they changed him, it didn't work. Now he's gone babyface, it's starting to work better.
They haven't
they didn't
changed
change
very
him.
Much, no.
Sheamus doesn't need to change.
No, he doesn't.
You
I'm
know?
Not saying change the character, I'm saying there already has been, for a long time,
mm-hmm.
aspects of that character which would get over with a babyface crowd,
mm-hmm.
but now you need to highlight those, but just give me a storyline for why it's
oh, yeah.
happening. That's all
definitely.
I'm saying.
I'm just saying that what I actually enjoy about Sheamus, though, is that they're going to keep Sheamus the same and not... he's just
finally, he could sell a shirt that says Stella and probably
yeah.
fucking sell out.
And, yeah, exactly. And he's going to be facing heels, basically, instead of faces. And that's really all that's going to happen.
That's fine.
Right? And that, no, but that's great. That's not even just fine. That's perfect. That's
yeah.
what you want.
Yep.
Right? So I think
well,
that's going to be, that really should be the number two baby.
As long
face.
As it's talked about on commentary, as long as he acknowledges it in his interviews, that's enough. It just needs to be something. It can't just be all of a sudden.
I think
you know?
Sheamus needs to acknowledge it in his interviews twice. Twice in 3 weeks.
Yeah, about that. That's about
twice
right.
Twice in 3 weeks and drop it so
yeah.
he's not pandering, right?
Exactly.
Mention
that's
it the
fine.
First week, don't mention it the second week, mention it the third week, then never mention it again.
Yeah.
And let the commentators not overplay it,
but
let
that's
them,
their job,
let
though.
Them kind of lay that in there a little
their
bit.
Their job
right?
is to get that story across.
It's just
and
thing.
It's subtle. It's a subtle
like at
thing.
At SummerSlam, right?
Right?
If they have a SummerSlam match with Wade Barrett and Sheamus, which I
yeah.
think they should at this point.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Have the commentators say, oh, you know, and as of late, the crowd really behind Sheamus,
well,
as I said.
Steve,
and Sheamus is really
at,
starting to appreciate those fans, too.
Even Steve Austin, when he turned, I mean, his character didn't change a lot, right? But, I mean, Vince McMahon would say, I don't even understand why the fans are cheering this man.
Yeah. These people love him, and I don't know why, folks, but they do.
Yeah, and,
yeah.
and you know what? And then if something happened. He didn't do anything different, except for that he was blood streaming down his face and wouldn't give up. And that was enough to turn him finally officially. And it wasn't really as much. It is a storyline, but it isn't. That's what I'm saying is that it doesn't need to
well,
be something.
And
it
you
needs
had
to be a natural progression.
In there, though, I mean, what helped? We talk about all we need is the announcers to do this. Oh, fuck, sure, fine. That's perfect world. Austin didn't give up, but he passed out from the pain. He had Jim Ross.
Yeah, it helped.
Okay, Sheamus has Michael Cole, Josh Matthews, and Booker T.
Matthews could be a good announcer if
he
wasn't scared shitless.
Well, if he hasn't been scared shitless,
yeah.
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 But, I mean, hey, you know, you never know, right?
Right.
I mean, well,
there is a new announcer within the WWE, or not a new announcer, but an old announcer who's back.
Yes.
On Superstar.
Oh, my God!
That's right. Styles is back, folks.
Yes.
Joey Styles is back calling Superstar.
Joseph Bonsignor is back.
Do you think that is just because they don't give a shit about Superstars? Because
yes.
he likes it? Do you think it's leading to anything else?
It's online. He's in charge of WWE.com. He's at the thing to do the voiceovers.
The fact that Vince McMahon actually likes him personally now helps him, right, though? That's something that Vince didn't do before?
I don't think that matters.
You don't think that matters?
Well, I mean, I think it helps. I mean, it's good for Joey that Vince likes him and that they're both Republican rednecks. But all that is to me, again, he's at the office, he runs the website, it's on WWE.com. It's convenience. I used to be this announcer. I could still announce. That's all it is. Really, it all it is. Do they fly Scott Stanford or have him drive in from New York to Connecticut, or does Joey, who's there from 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, just do it anyway?
Yep, okay.
Right? I mean...
But like I say, it's just something I'm not sure how many folks were knew that he was there. And the fans
so you
of him.
Told me. I didn't know.
Yeah,
I didn't
no,
know
but the fans of him, you know what? So they're certainly invited to check out Superstars. I mean, I have to say, Styles calling... I'm a fan of Styles' work. I've been for a long, long time, so... Styles calling it would be something that would get me to watch it if I had time. It's just difficult already to watch as much wrestling as we do watch on occasion, so it's just difficult to fit in that one more show when you know nothing big is happening on it. But I'm a
well,
fan.
Exactly. Now, is there any truth to the rumor that WWE.com exclusively now going to bring back Backlash?
Yes. Yes, that's true. He's
okay.
good enough to call it now.
Well, now it's on the website. Joey's like, I can call Backlash now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Backlash?
Yeah. All right, let's keep on talking about SmackDown, because we're hitting that.
Speaking of hitting, somebody's tapping you on the shoulder.
Oh,
there.
Shit. Okay, all right. Go ahead.
Well, Joey Styles was the voice of ECW.
Can we just take the microphone from him, please?
Can I escort him out of the house? Or
I don't know.
Just, you know, he's over there.
I feel bad. He bought the beer.
That's true.
So.
That's true.
Anyway. Okay, right. Sorry.
Anyways, let's stick on SmackDown.
Well,
Christian officially has had the belt the longest reign of his career.
His career, ladies and gentlemen.
He's had it a week.
Twice as long as he had it before.
This is...
We're at a week
now.
We're 7 days.
Yeah, we're 7 days. No fanfare for this one at all.
Mm.
And I think that is kind of ironic, is that so many people were happy for him and then upset that he lost it. Now he's had it for a week and nobody's talking about it. It's like, you know.
Well, the thing was, is I think it has a couple of things to do in terms of the way he won it, obviously, with the ball.
That's a portion
kick,
of it.
Right?
Sure.
That's a portion of it. I think you will probably hear, or you should at least hear, the announcers talk about it next week.
Yeah.
And the announcers, again, I'll be completely honest with our wonderful fans at We Talk Wrestling. I watched SmackDown, but I skipped through the Ezekiel Jackson match at the opening there against Christian just because I had some time constraints. And, well, Ezekiel Jackson was involved, and I kind of knew, you know, it wasn't a, you know, the title wasn't in jeopardy, folks, let's be honest. So I didn't really... So they may have mentioned that on commentary, and I didn't hear it, so I'm not going to... completely.
I missed it as well, if that's the case.
I'm not going to completely bury them for that, but I haven't heard a lot of rumblings, you're right, about it generally.
Yeah.
So I would hope that next week they would do that and point out on commentary that, hey, his title reign's
yeah, exactly,
title reign of
exactly.
Reign.
But I just
especially
think,
as a heel.
I'm talking not even so much, I'm not even talking so much from the announce crew, I'm talking just online.
I think it's kind of funny because
it was such an uproar, right?
Well, but it was. But the iron was so hot then, and now he's a heel, and it's just like, and it was the first one.
Yeah,
it was the first time he won the title, and it was this
the Edge storyline,
the Edge thing,
and
it was
that
just
stuff.
It's just,
I think it's just a bit strange.
Now
so
here's a question for you.
Okay. So
if Edge got spinal stenosis 2 weeks ago and was set to fight Alberto Del Rio in a ladder match at Money in the Bank, let's just say, okay, and he got the spinal stenosis and Christian won a number one contender, and that match now happened at Money in the Bank, okay, and Christian won, and there's the groundswell there, and this happens today, does Christian have a quote-unquote five-day title ring?
Yes.
Does he still?
They always wanted to get it on Orton. And the only reason they took it off Orton was because they had gone so far with that storyline that they could not continue that feud. They don't have the next guy there to challenge Orton set up. That's the thing. They don't have the next guy. So they have to continue the storyline with Christian. They don't want Orton to lose, and that's why he's the champion again in that method.
I just get the feeling, though, that they're listening to people more. They're listening to their fan base a little more now that... I think they may have listened to the... I don't know. I have more... We talked about faith in the company.
A little bit more, yeah.
I have some more faith that they may have put that through. The other part of me, though, is thinking, and I think I mentioned this at the time, is that I don't know how much of this was that they just took Edge out because he got hurt of the storyline and plugged Orton in, and this was always going to be an Edge and Christian
summer. We don't know.
Right? I get that feeling, the way that this angle is kind of... played out
to
in
some degree,
tweaked,
yeah.
Right? Now, and it seems like it's been tweaked a bit, so...
But the question I have for you is, how long do you think Christian is going to now hold the title?
You know, and I don't know, because, I can go...
And is there at any point where he's held it long enough that the fans will acknowledge the fact that he's actually a world champion now?
September.
Okay.
He's got to keep it to Night of Champions, at least.
Okay.
If he drops it at SummerSlam... he's got to have a few months with it,
okay.
Right? Because that's really how a regular title reign goes now, really, is 2 to 3 months, for fuck's sake. So I think that, like a John Cena, let's say, would hold the title for, you know, 3-4 months kind of thing, right?
That's why he's a champion.
Exactly, right? But I think that that's the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
But I would think that that's what has to happen. He's got to hold it. I keep going back to him dropping into Orton and Hell in a Cell.
Now, you think that's what you would do, or you think that's what they're going to do?
It's, I don't know. The thing is where, what do you do with Orton? You talk, we talked about who's the baby faces. Who are the heels?
Well, that's the heels. Their heels is even worse. That's the thing.
Well, I don't know if it's any worse.
You can plug in Sheamus and Orton, right? But I guess on the other side, you could plug in.
Well, you have Wade Barrett, and you have
yeah.
Mark Henry.
Yeah.
Right.
It's really pretty
and
weak.
Cody Rhodes.
Maybe Cody Rhodes. Yeah.
But he's not ready yet.
No,
Cody
not.
Rhodes should be Ezekiel Jackson. That's the plane that they're on there. And then I don't want to call it the glass ceiling, but the next, you know, moving, going in the elevator to the next floor is where you get the Wade
Cody,
Barrett.
Cody, I believe, will get there, but he's not there yet.
Oh yeah,
he's
not yet, not yet. But these guys are on, you know, like the second. Second top level. They're not on the penthouse like these other guys. So that's kind of where my thing is. What do you do with Christian? How often do you how long do you have the title with Christian?
See, I just I get the feeling that there's actually some legs with Christian as a heel champion now. So I do think that you could have Christian face Sheamus, you know, and then have him face Orton, and then have him. Like, I don't think you need to go back to the same idea of the same challenger 75 months in a row. Like, I think you could have him face a few different guys. I think you could have him against, have him against Christian, or sorry, have Christian against Sheamus, have him against Orton, have him against Kane, have him against,
mm-hmm.
and then go back to a Sheamus, and then, you know, I think you could mix it up, and I think you could stretch him out till probably Survivor Series or maybe even December.
Mm-hmm.
Is right now just looking at their roster and who's over, and you're talking about Daniel Bryan at the main event. You know the main event, the SmackDown side. Orton's going to be there. Okay, so now it becomes who's Orton against? Is Orton against Daniel Bryan or is it a three-way? At this point, it's also really difficult to not see Christian there. Just because there's nobody else who has both momentum in ring and out of ring with the fans,
well,
like Christian does, even
right
though it's,
now,
not, as,
though,
even though
right
it's not as hot even
again,
as
we talk about eight, we talk about 8 months away, though. I mean, as hot as Christian is or isn't, you know, right
but
now.
But he's doing the best work of his career, so I don't see him falling too far.
Well, no, but no, there's falling too far, and there's not being in the title picture.
Two title reigns, though, two times world champion. If he does hold it to September, that gets him closer to being legit in both the fans and the company's eyes.
Well,
now
kinda,
it depends on a bunch of other things, a bunch of other facts. But it gets it closer. It's like, okay,
because
they go, okay, we had him as the champion. He held it for 3 months, and it
mm-hmm.
wasn't a disaster.
Okay.
Maybe it wasn't a great success, but it wasn't an utter fucking disaster.
And I just want to put it into perspective, I guess. And we rewind a year ago.
Okay.
And who was the WWF or WWE rather champion going into Money in the Bank last year? You remember?
Rey Mysterio, wasn't it?
No.
No, was that Sheamus?
Sheamus.
Okay.
Sheamus. Okay. And what did Sheamus do at WrestleMania?
Yeah, you're right. World champion was Rey. What did Sheamus do at WrestleMania? He had a match cut.
Yes.
Against Daniel Bryan.
And that's what I'm looking. Christian wins the title.
I think it's a little different though.
Two-time champion.
No, it's a little different, though, because...
Second ring. Everything is different. I'm just telling you that you've got a guy who, okay, you're talking about his second reign is solidifying it more to the fans and blah, blah, and it is. But at the same time, as easy as that second reign gets him a little closer to being solidified, as easily as we're 8 months away, you can go from that to getting your match cut. And Christian is a guy that we all know Vince is not the biggest fan of, right?
Yeah, that's true. Vince
and
is not
so,
the biggest fan of. But you know what? The Hunter might be taking over sooner rather than later. Here, now there's talk of that.
No.
It's happening.
That's bullshit talk.
It is.
Fuck
because
you.
The guy's slowing down.
No.
So it's just how much, I don't know, but it is. Also, it's SmackDown, who nobody's paying as much attention to. But also, there's the difference between Christian and Sheamus is that Christian's paid his dues, and he's been with the company for a long time.
Nobody gives a fuck about that.
Vince, they do.
Okay, but if Vince doesn't care, Vince doesn't care. And all I'm telling you is that that's Michael Hayes again. He went for a beer.
Jim Neidhart trying to break in.
Is it Neidhart?
Yeah, fucker.
Jesus Christ. Is he in his... Oh, yeah, okay. He's walked by the window. I see the fanny pack.
And the shirt's off. It's hot.
It is. It's hot. But I'm telling you that if Vince doesn't want to go with the guy, Vince ain't going with the guy, whether he's been with your company 10 years or 10 months.
But I'm not saying it's so much as a Vince. I'm saying in the eyes of the fans.
I don't give a fuck about the fans.
You were the one who said, I think they're listening to the fans a little more right now.
Yeah.
Duh.
I'm just saying is that they're getting a little more faith in it. And all I'm doing is I'm just comparing it and saying that as quickly as Sheamus fell. And I agree with the difference. Every situation is different.
Number one, you have a guy who's far more established both to the fans and to the office. And they know they can trust him a lot more. Because a part of the issue of a new guy getting that title is, can we trust him? Now we put him through his test and see how he handles it so we can learn if we can trust him. And Christian doesn't have that anymore because he's been through those rigors already. Number two, there was more guys on top who could take over from Sheamus. There wasn't enough still. I mean, they needed to build new stars. But, I mean, SmackDown particularly has nobody.
Yeah, well, it's, Raw didn't have anybody either. But
A little more. Not even.
I'll give you a little more being like one more guy. Miz, Barrett, and Sheamus. Now you got...
And Hunter at the time was still semi-regular.
Heel, though. We're talking heels.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm pointing out to you, as high as you are right now...
Compared to two.
8 months is a long fucking way away, and that's all I'm saying.
I'm not disagreeing either,
which is why I don't know why
you're
getting
so fucking
high
about it. I don't think that Christian's going to lose so much momentum. That's all I'm saying. I just think because he's doing well.
I hope you're right.
Right now I see him being in the world title picture for a long time. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to be in the challenging for the title, but all I'm saying is Orton is already there. If Daniel Bryan is there...
My boy, D. Bryan.
Yeah, then it goes from that...
Well, I like Daniel Bryan and Christian.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked about that. That's a match.
Two best workers on the brand, right?
Well, exactly. But, I mean, that's a guy that I can see Bryan competing in against.
And also, he wouldn't look... They would look beside each other in the ring like it could be a competitive match.
That's right. So, I mean... And then maybe you throw Randy Orton in there. I don't know.
Maybe you do.
Anyway, well, let's look over. We talked about the face turn of Sheamus.
Yeah.
What looks to be another face turn all over on Raw is The Miz.
The Miz, yeah.
And what do you think about that?
Wait a second. Hayes, should we let him talk about Miz?
Well, he wants to talk about The Miz.
He's going to say about The Miz.
Okay. Well, The Miz is the most must-see WWE champion in history.
Well, that was about as good as I expected.
That's awesome.
Yeah, look, The Miz, The Miz has this...
Thanks, Mike.
Give him another one.
Okay, just drink your beer, Michael.
That's good. The Miz has this worked knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
But...
At Money in the Bank.
And then he's, you know, wrestling with it in the tournament the next night.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fighting through it and winning and trying to come out for the... Fighting through the pain. And that's simply a babyface characteristic.
Well, that's Austin, right? He didn't give up. He passed out from the pain. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a babyface characteristic. You know, I mean, far before Austin. It always has been.
Right.
It is classic babyface. Now, they did this to his character... without any idea of using it to turn him babyface. But the crowd is reacting to him like
that's
a babyface.
Right. Yes.
And they are leaning in that direction now. Now, I've said to you before talked about how Sheamus will someday make a good babyface. I've said before I really think the WWE wants Miz as a babyface. I don't know if he'd make a good one, but I've always thought for a long time that they've seen him as one because he is so good in the public. With the media.
Exactly.
So that's the reason why the WWE has wanted him, I think, as a babyface for a long, long time.
And I agree with you in that when you say I don't know that he will be a good one, I think he'll be a decent one, but I don't think he'll be a CM Punk or what Sheamus will be.
No.
I just he's just that smarmy...
Yeah.
You know, he's the guy in your high school that's small but has big friends.
Yes.
You know,
that's a good way to describe it.
That will you know, be really not even will just ignore you, but then when he's around his big friends, you know, the guy that'll you know, shove you into the locker kind of thing.
Exactly.
He's me.
Exactly. He's Matt Dillon in The Bodyguard.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So
fast runner.
Yeah.
You know, I could outrun anybody. But that to me is Miz's lot in life in terms of character. But
well,
I think he's going to get a run.
The other thing. Well, we talk about how Orton was a guy who was just a natural heel. He came out, first brought up to the roster, the babyface, didn't fly.
Yeah.
They turned him heel, natural heel, it took off. Tried to turn him babyface, not a natural babyface,
no.
Did not take off. This time, back to a heel, continued to be an upper mid-card main event guy as a heel. This time they've turned him without changing the character. Now, if you look at this, and you look at The Miz, you go, if they don't change the character, that can't be a successful babyface. On the other hand, if they change the character, what can they do with it?
What have they done, though? What have they done to change
the character?
They let
him fight through the pain.
That's it. Exactly. So that's all, again, you might need to do.
He hasn't opened his mouth yet.
No. But he's got the really... And, like, again, if you take that character...
The time I found him most likable was when he came in and the Tough Enough guys were in there and he said, move Buckwheat.
Yes. But, I mean, he's got a good sense of humor. I mean...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's
fucking Maurice.
Where he was going to come in, I don't know if he still is, but if they were going to come in...
Good for him.
Good, well, he has, at least, which is better than I have. So,
you're French.
But, yeah.
Not hot, though.
Frenchie Martin. But, when USA is not okay. Sign those words. Oh, it was so simple back in the 80s. But when you talk about what Miz can do, when Miz was about to first come in.
Fuck talking about this. I need to sing the Rougeau song.
The Fabulous Rougeau Brothers?
Yeah.
The All-American Boys?
Sing it.
We're All-American Boys. All-American Boys. We don't like heavy metal. We don't like rock and roll. All we like to listen to is Barry Manilow. We're all
back
from Montreal to Memphis, parlez-vous français? Tell all your friends the Rougeau's on their way.
What were we talking about? Could not have been
Miz,
as good as that song.
The thing what I'm talking about with Miz is what I like about no. With Miz is where they first tried to put him in, when they were first going to bring him in, was with Chris Cage as a tag team, right?
Yeah.
And he came in, and Chris Cage got hurt, and they were going to bring him in. I think we've talked about this before. Palmer Cannon, he was going to be the annoying guy.
That's
and
right.
where I see Miz' possible role as a babyface, okay? And I go back to Wrestling with Shadows, okay, when Bret Hart's talking about Wrestling with Shadows, he's talking about other characters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley has this thing and just gets in your skin, and no one will ever cheer Hunter Hearst Helmsley. And then he turns into DX, right? He just turns into this obnoxious... And that's
he
wasn't. No, he wasn't Hunter Hearst Helmsley. He was Triple H.
He's Triple H, yeah.
And that's where I see the Miz.
By the way, I've ever told you what a stupid name Triple H is when you really think about it.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
I just remember the
that's
H...
That's marketable?
The H cubed. Remember that shirt? That was so horrible.
Christ.
But, what I look at Miz is, if Miz is a degenerate, I think he can get over his babyface if he does a degenerate deal. If he's the Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live, really type humor, and he can schmooze the media, but be that obnoxious move Buckwheat, use his humor.
Yeah.
Then, yeah.
Well, that's it.
But
it,
like
it
a
is.
Triple H, I said. Like a degenerate Triple H, where you use your humor but not be a comedy character.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
And that's the other thing is he can, The Miz is probably...
The Rock.
Well, yeah.
The Rock uses humor but isn't a comedy character.
No, often used a ton of humor.
Well, that's true. What?
Even as a heel, he was using humor before turning. You know, when he's facing... Remember when that promo he cut at SummerSlam? When he was facing Yokozuna before he entered the ring?
In the fucking free-for-all. And let that be a lesson to you guys.
About the funniest goddamn promo ever.
On Todd Pettengill.
Yeah.
But let me just point that out.
He was still badass.
Let's talk about hindsight.
It was funny, but badass.
Let's talk about hindsight. We talk about what the ratings we talked about earlier. The King of the Ring.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Next month, he's in the fucking free-for-all.
Yeah.
Getting a fluke win over Yokozuna.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you are,
but he cut a great promo about how he shouldn't have been there, right? And it started to build up the I'm challenging Bret Hart then.
Mm-hmm.
He put an S in front of his name. That's exactly what I think about Bret Hart.
Yeah, well, yeah, because with Pillman and Owen, and he did that in September is when that actually started. So
yeah.
Definitely. But anyway,
The Miz. I just think if Miz goes degenerate a little bit, I think maybe that's
possible.
His
and Miz, and it is about understanding, being able to connect to as a character what is currently the pop culture and the feel of the audience.
It's like what Punk said, though.
Yeah. And that's what Punk has managed to do, and I think Miz is young enough and hip enough that he can probably do that better than almost most of the... Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, well, good. So, we've talked about that. We talked about the title match is going to evolve... on Raw, just to bring it full circle to what we talked about.
Yeah, I think Ray is going to win.
We talked about Miz.
Ray will win
and
the title.
Miz is going to be in that. And Rey Mysterio is the other opponent there. Let's segue that to the other masked man.
Well, the reason why I say I think Ray is going to win the title. And,
well,
and Ray is apparently going to get a big push because he's the only masked man now in the company.
Well, possibly. That's right. Yeah.
You know what? I think this is an obvious topic, but I'm wondering if we should break it up with our interview because the guy's been waiting on hold now forever. Can we just get that out of the way and come back to this and finish on a topic?
Do we want to?
Or do you want to wait for next episode? It's already an hour and 20 minutes in.
I mean, if he's been on hold, let's get him on the line.
We've been talking about him for a while. He's a big, big fan of Addy. I'm going to put him... Michael Hayes, you don't get to talk... You can talk after he's done.
Okay, let him just say he's got something to say.
You want
to
talk... It's Dennis Leary. What do you want to say about Dennis Leary?
Well, Dennis Leary is a comedian.
I know!
Okay. Fuck it. Anyway, all right. So let's do this. We've been waiting for a while. Dennis Leary on the line. Dennis Leary, are you there? Well, no, Michael, shut up. Dennis Leary,
Dennis,
are you
Dennis,
there?
Dennis, get on. I have Dennis Leary.
How you doing?
Rest
thank you.
Me.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And fuck you.
What?
There's a guy. I don't know if you guys have heard about this. This is the guy. He's English. Not that we should hold that against him. But apparently this is his life's dream because he is going country to country. He had a pay-per-view match in this country a couple weeks ago. And this is what he wants to do. He wants to work for TNA. Wrestling. The problem is nobody knows who he is. Like, all of a sudden he's going to walk into the ring and people are going to go, holy shit, that's Mark Haskins. I heard he's really good. Yeah, he can do moonsaults and stuff. You fucking dolt. Like, all of a sudden he's going to come in there and people are just going to be like, oh, Mark Haskins. No, fuck you. You don't know who you are. Andre the Giant's not dead. He's frozen. As soon as we find a cure for what does he have?
I don't know, something giantism?
Giantism. We're going to thaw it under a giant, and he's going to be pretty pissed off. You know why? If you're taking a cold shower, multiply that by 15 million times. That's how pissed off Andre the Giant's going to be. I'm going to get Andre the Giant. I'm going to get Big John Studd. I'm going to get Heat Sox Calhoun and a case of whiskey and drive down to Texas, and we are going to find Bruiser Brody, who's also frozen, thaw him out, and we're going to have a hell of a stable. Now, we talk about Johnny Valentine. You talked about Johnny Valentine the other day. Johnny Valentine's paralyzed, and we can't get Vince Russo in an airplane, folks. Come on now.
Thank you. Dennis, anything else? Big wrestling
fan. You know, you're a wrestling fan. I love wrestling. You know, but, you know, you ever notice that every time a wrestler dies, it's always some really talented guy. It's always like Chris Benoit or Eddie Guerrero or Macho Man or anything. You know what I mean?
Brian
Pillman. You know, it's the people you want to overdose never do. You know? Like, Jeff Hardy will never fucking overdose, man, never. Okay? You can put him in a room with 2 tons of crack. He come out half hour later going, Magi Nation. Oh, shit, he's still alive. Fuck.
Yeah.
He's probably going to have another world title run now. God damn it!
Same could be said about Matt.
Matt, oh, God. Well, he loves grapes, and I love grapes. The thing is, you know what? We've got a new thing. I've been working on this with Brian Gewirtz. It's called Shut the Fuck Up by Dr. Dennis Leary, a new revolutionary, new form of self-help therapy. Anytime he's in a writer's meeting and he goes up to Vince and he goes, Vince and I got an idea, I just smack him and go, Shut the Fuck Up, Brian, next. But Vince, I got to Shut the Fuck Up, Brian, next. I don't know. He made me feel so much better about myself. He just told me to shut the fuck up. And no one's ever told me about it before. I feel so much better and the ratings are at 4s. Yeah, well, it's just what happens, isn't it, Dennis? Yes, it's just what happens. You know what? You know what I love about it? I love everything about wrestling. I love you people. I fucking hate, though, Vince fucking Russo. Vince fucking Russo, you know what? He fucking just is so fucking stupid. He fucking can't even stand. I was talking to my friend Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe, he told me to come on the show. He told me to say, fuck Russo.
Ah.
Yeah. All right, well, I can't disagree with that.
What about NyQuil? Mm-hmm. Xanax or what?
My friend, my old friend, I don't know what happened to him. My old friend, he told me about Xanax, and you know what? You gotta love Xanax, right? You know, capital X, small N, small A, big fucking X, you know, just Xanax. It's right there. It just pops right out at you, you know, with a fucking Xanax.
Giant fucking Xanax.
It's what happens.
All right, Dennis, thank you very much. Any last things you want to say before you go?
Fuck Ken Anderson, because I'm an asshole, and I'm proud of it. All right. Well, thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Mr. Dennis Leary. A good. Just shut up, Michael. It's making noise and shit. So, oh fuck. Well, no, it was good.
It's a good promo.
He appreciates
a good promo.
Apparently he does. Yeah. Apparently he does.
All right. Let's talk about the other big news of the week. It was.
So we want to talk about Sin Cara.
Yes. Sin Cara. Pop for steroids.
I hear he pops for steroids, yeah.
Well, something popped on his back, a bunch of pimples.
Yes, you pointed that out on the...
I actually pointed that out on the Money in the Bank interview. You were like, well, look, there's some
back knee. I said back knee on Sheamus, and you said, fuck, check a back knee out on Sin Cara.
It's like way worse, right?
Yeah.
And then later the next day it comes out, you know, we're talking about the angle where he goes to the ladder and how he, you know, this and that.
Well,
and we're talking, though, about how he's getting over and how he's doing pretty good, and we're like, next thing we know, he's popped for steroids.
Yes, and suspended for 30 days. But, I mean, it's...
Or his knee injures, or ribs are injured, I guess, depending on
which
story.
Depending on which WWE.com story you click on, because there's one right after another, right on the main page there was
one saying he's suspended for steroids for 30 days, the other one saying he's going to be out about 4 weeks...
For a knee injury.
Actually, ribs, it was.
Or ribs, okay.
Yeah, but the issue is, I mean, there's a lot of issues with him. He's,
well.
But part of the thing is that he told a newspaper, I can't remember, it's called The Record, I believe it is, in Mexico, that this is standard therapy that he's been receiving for a long time for his bad knee, and that's where the injection for the steroid
was. And he
wasn't
quite sure what he could be popped for. Apparently it's a steroid, blah, 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 and he contested it, which is why he got so... Because apparently this whole test, he failed in June, June. And then he contested it because he thought, well, no, it can't be right, blah, 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 I've been doing this all the time, yada, yada, yada. And so that's why he was able to work the Money in the Bank, and then it came out a month later here that he'd been suspended. So... He's not the most popular person in the company. I mean, he's done some interviews. He did an interview that
backstage,
got pulled.
Backstage, you mean?
Oh, backstage, yeah.
He's over on the crowds. He's over in the house shows. His merchandise is selling well. You know, I mean, he gets a lot of heat for not knowing the style. Go figure.
Well, but, I mean, whatever. I mean, in terms of heat, it's just a matter of is what he's getting heat for now, though, is the way. I mean, A-OK,
he carries himself like a star.
Well, no, it's the fact that...
Well, that's
that
part of it. That he carries himself
part
like,
of it.
Like
yeah,
a star.
Yeah, of course.
They don't like that.
Star,
but
another
hand,
know,
you don't carry
know.
Yourself like a star. They don't like that because you don't carry yourself like a star.
That's right. So, well, John Cena gets to wear jeans.
Yeah.
But, no, I just look at Sin Cara. I mean, I think it's the way he's handled this suspension in terms of the... I mean, apparently you get a little bit... Nobody really contests. And so to contest, it's a lot of paperwork, and people find that to be a pain in the ass. So he gets a little bit of heat there. But, and then going back on the interview that he did, I guess it was an unauthorized interview,
that's the thing,
which got pulled. And so, of course,
it was down shortly after it was up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the word
he's
is
got
up.
Heat there.
The internet, folks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a series of tubes.
Mm-hmm. That's right, and cords.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, it's he got heat, of course, unauthorized interview, and that makes sense. You would get heat for that. You should get heat for that. You do an unauthorized interview, fuck you, you get heat. There's fucking rules that they've got. Hey, I work for a company, the company has rules, I break the rule, I get in trouble. That's just the way it goes. And so, yeah, you get that.
Okay, let's put it this way. This company said to you couldn't do this show off your on-off hours. Is that fair?
If they were paying me? This has fucking nothing to do about fair. Okay, and let's fucking drop that act right now.
That's true.
This is the rule. Okay,
if you want
to be employed by World Wrestling Entertainment, if you choose to sign that contract and be employed, this is what you are signing up for.
But
so then for you to go, I'm fucking Sin Cara, I can do this fucking anyway, I know it says it's in my contract, I'm just going to fucking go do it anyway, I know you can't do it, John Cena, I know you can't do it, fuck you. No.
But isn't he an independent contractor?
Of course he is.
Okay, thank you. But, yeah, no, I know what you're saying. And I understand what you're saying. I don't even necessarily disagree with it. I'm just saying devil's advocate.
There is one part about being, you talk about the independent contractor, and I know where you're getting, and it's tongue-in-cheek, and I understand that. But the reality, too, is that when you sign the contract as an independent contractor, even if you want to stipulate that they are independent contractors, we can throw that bullshit to the side, and let's just say, fine, you're an independent contractor, the contract you sign will state you need to have your interviews funneled through our PR department as part of the contract. And an independent contractor, an actual independent contractor, if you were I don't know why a carpenter would have to fucking go to a PR firm for an interview, but let's just call them a carpenter.
Okay.
And that is something that is legally able to be stipulated in a contract.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that independent contractor thing, I know where you're going, but I'm right. You're wrong.
No, I'm not even disagreeing.
I know what you're saying. But it's one of those things that, you know.
There's a lot of heat on him for a lot of issues, though.
Well, to the point where people are going, like, well, he may not come back.
Yeah.
As you said, maybe, you know, Rey Mysterio in line to get a push because he's going to be the only mass wrestler. I think that's going to die down.
But the thing is, that was even before. There was talk that he wouldn't be brought back even before he did this interview. And it was almost immediate there was talk he wouldn't be brought back. Then he did this interview, and he gets even more heat.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think business is business, and I think that they're gonna need to – the fact that he has been Hunter's guy, you know, a push as Hunter's guy, I think fact that his merchandise is doing well, I mean, the fact – They've invested a lot in him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to give up on him.
You know what
but
it does
we'll
say,
see
though.
What happens.
You know what it does say, though, and it will be. And the one thing it does say, and it's kind of in hindsight, I guess. And I don't know if who's all privy to everything, but it does make it a little interesting that it makes sense that Christian beat him,
mm-hmm.
right? But it doesn't make sense that he beat Sheamus.
No, it doesn't. That's
you
the
know?
Thing is they've known about this for a while, but they're continuing to book him strong. For a long
well,
time.
Well, not
even,
as
even,
strong, though. Losing to Christian happened after, and so that makes
true.
Sense.
But
I like
but
that.
But he did get a winner from Sheamus, and even in the Money in the Bank, he got his focus, he got his spots
mm-hmm.
before he was put out. And he was put out, he wasn't just gone like a guy they're going to bury him.
Okay,
he was
okay,
put out in a
what
in
that
a
says,
spot.
What that says to me is
they're not sure.
Prior, no, but what that says to me is prior to the interview,
mm-hmm.
okay, he was going to be brought back.
The talk was immediately he wasn't.
Yeah,
right?
But
that's
who,
the thing, right?
Talk by who, though?
Dave
All
Meltzer?
Yeah, but, okay, Dave Meltzer is just saying that there was talk, right? But all I'm saying is that...
Speculation was. Strong speculation. It's just speculation. Everything we're doing now is just speculation.
It is, but what I'm speculating
now, what I'm saying,
is based on whoever booked that.
Uh-huh.
All I'm saying there, and I'm not saying anybody's right, anybody's wrong, because obviously nobody knows. Well, if somebody knows, but I'm just saying that the way that it was booked, okay,
yes.
whoever booked that was booking it as that Sin Cara was coming back.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
That's what my point was
mm-hmm.
when I was bringing about it, how they did give him his spots and they did give
mm-hmm.
him focus on the match. Also, one of the things that he's getting heat for is the fact that he's showing up at these house shows and people are chanting Mystical at him instead of Sin Cara. So in other words, he's over for what he did before he got to the WWE. But that, of course, is also why they hired him for the WWE. So it's just, again, the WWE is a strange little universe with its own logic.
I don't even know
gets.
Where those house shows are.
I don't know. I don't
they
know.
Can't see anybody in Wheeling, West Virginia chanting Mexico.
You never know.
I can't.
But that's the word he's getting to meet
hmm.
for that.
In Los Angeles, in San Diego,
maybe that's where it
even
is,
in Texas, okay, I mean, you know, I can see that, right? But, I mean, just, you know.
But again, you never know. The hardcore fans show up. I mean, the people that buy the newsletters show up to those house shows as well as kids and the fans. So. But
Well, sure.
To some degree. But also, I can't see them. If he's their best into a country that they want to make headway into, who else are they going to bring in who could do the same thing? I mean,
Averno.
Dr. Wagner.
You know, they've been talking with WWE and Dr. Wagner for years.
Yeah.
Like, years.
Years.
Like, 15 years, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
I thought I remember reading, like, 1997, that along with, like, Taka Michinoku and shit,
yeah.
this light heavyweight stuff they're talking about, Doctor. Like, maybe even 96, with the Hector Garza was in, and they were doing that Cybernetico and with the AAA to try to combat the
cruiserweights,
the cruiser wars
that were on Nitro, yeah, they were trying to.
Because I still remember trying to remember who it was. It was Cibernético and another Mexican luchador against the fake Razor and fake Diesel on a
was
shotgun Saturday
metal?
Night.
Was
it might have been heavy
was
metal.
The Latin Lover? Or
Latin Lover was there, yeah. Hector Garza. But it was. I thought it was another
mask guy, yeah.
Motherfucker. And but, it was... anyway, it was horrible.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, fucking
yeah,
Rick
yeah.
Wagner and Glenn Jacobs against fucking two luchadors.
Bad
like,
idea, but...
What? And Honky Tonk Man and Sonny doing commentary. Like, the whole fucking thing was just bad.
Yeah. Speaking of Sonny, actually, it's something I wanted to bring up here. Just, not that Sonny.
She brought
just,
stuff up.
But just, you know, I just wanted to quickly mention this, if you don't mind.
Hmm?
If you know what I'm talking about. You know, this,
Oh, I think there was one other thing you wanted to, you wanted to hit on, Lance Storm's daughter, didn't you?
I didn't want to put it that way.
What?
But I didn't want to plug her. Lance Storm, fellow Calgarian, as you and I record here in the Palacios Golden Crusted
right.
Studios of House Attic.
You wanted to plug Lance's daughter.
Northeast Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Does Lance know?
Lance's daughter, Lance Storm, his daughter has written under an alias of Sonny Schaefer, a book called Bond Enforcement. And I purchased it. I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, it's only a couple bucks. You can download it.
Have they made a movie?
No, so you won't see it.
Oh, not yet. I will, though.
You won't, but no, I'm really looking forward to it.
Someone's going to read it and put it on, like, an MP3?
Jesus Christ, I'm trying to plug somebody's dream here.
You can call me Addy.
So, Bond Enforcement by Sonny Schaefer. Please, everybody, spend a couple
yes,
dollars and download it and give it a shot. I'm sure it's excellent. I'm really looking forward to reading it.
It's $1.99.
Yeah.
And it's honestly, if it, I mean, it is. It's a little
bit. Anybody who follows Lance Storm on his website knows he has a bookmarks where he reads and reviews books and encourages people
mm-hmm.
to do so and read it with him. It's essentially a book club online. He's a big reader. And reading is, despite Addy, important.
All kidding aside, I will be buying it. And as I said, I mean, I just look at it as, you know what, if even one Lance Storm match you've ever seen has entertained you, it's got to have been worth $1.99 that you can plug in and support his daughter. So
absolutely.
Great,
absolutely.
Great match.
So anyways, back to Averno. He is the guy who got screwed from all this. Because he's the guy who is now not in the WWE.
How'd we go from plugging Lance Storm to you talking about screwed?
You figure it out. Anyways.
You don't want to see the look on Mo's face. You don't want to see the look on Michael Hayes' face beside Mo here.
Michael Hayes has something he wants to say about Averno, but should we let him?
Sure. No, actually.
Okay.
I don't want him talking about Mexican people at all.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Just,
Averno.
Go get another beer. Fuck.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like he needs another beer.
Yeah. Well.
Anyways, Averno is the guy who was being brought in, being groomed to have the great matches with Sin Cara to help him get over.
Mm-hmm.
Lost his mask because he was going to the WWE where he was not going to be a masked wrestler.
That's right.
And now he has not been brought in, and it doesn't look like it's on the horizon for.
Well, now what he's lost is his smile.
Yeah.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
But it's not that he's not going to be brought in. It's just a matter of, again, there's more questions at this point than answers with Sin Cara.
Yeah.
As to, you know, I mean, I assume
Sin Cara...
But if Sin Cara
is gone, Averno is probably not likely coming in at all.
Well...
And that's not good for him for both what he sacrificed with the mask, though you can still be a star without it, but also just the payday, you know. And he is an older guy, I think in his early 30s or whatever, but he's a little bit older.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I don't know with his style how much longer he's going to have. So then again, Mil Máscaras is about to have another match.
TNA, though, would probably pick up Averno, so...
That's possible.
That doesn't help him. But... I'm just saying that, yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't want to say screwed in all of this, but it's just it's unfortunate the way that the dominoes will fall for Averno should this not happen. You're right. He's an older guy, so it's not like he can sit in developmental and kind of, you know, learn a style and be brought up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
I don't think that was ever the plan. The plan was for him to come in and have him work those.
No, but if they're going to say, fuck you, Mystico, we got this Averno kid who's 40.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Pal? No, it's just, you know, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
If Mystico and Averno were of similar age, maybe similar, then okay, maybe we can put Averno down while we're waiting for Sin Cara to, what are we going to do? And then you can have him be the new one, right? And
because he wasn't brought in because they were high on signing him. He was brought in specifically because Sin Cara was asked who he could have the best matches with, and this
that's
is the
right.
guy whose name
and
is
And he said,
them.
Yes, these are the best
now,
matches I've had, and he's also someone with Victor, with Alex Kozlov, not Victor Kozlov, Alex Kozlov. Who is Alex Kozlov not in developmental?
I don't believe so.
I thought he was.
I don't believe so.
I thought he got signed. But anyway, he was another one of the guys that was
yeah.
in the Sin Cara opening. So, to me, it's just like, okay, well, if Averno's not going to go, then why don't you just do...
And that's the other thing is, you know, how they want to expand into Mexico. There was talk about them bringing in other luchadors. Are they going to be nervous about that now? Are they going to be, you know, are they going to continue on? I think the thing is, the issue is, to me, is that the drug culture in Mexico... for their performers is more similar to what the WWE was doing 10 years ago.
Well, yes,
it is. And so, I mean, if you're bringing in these performers and you have this this wellness policy,
you know what? I honestly, what I think you do is that's the reason to put them in developmental.
Yeah.
You know, not the style. It's just if this is the problem that we're having – And they're going to get drug tested in developmental, you know, if they can be clean throughout and clean throughout, okay, well, then you bring them up, right? You know, you put them down there for a year, they stay clean, you bring them up, right? I mean, that's just the kind of thing. And it's good. So that will stunt the development of their growth for a year, okay? But once they're down there and you can keep cycling guys down there and put them down there, then, okay, somebody, again, I don't want to say that they're interchangeable because they're not, but it's the same as any wrestler is interchangeable, though. I mean, you know, you push the guy, they fail the drug test, okay, you get rid of him, here's a new guy to push, right? And eventually you get that. Someone will stick, right?
Yeah.
It's the law of averages. Eventually you throw enough to the wall and eventually something will stick. So that I could see happening.
Yeah.
And that would be what I would like to see, and that's why you should have, not honestly a mass hiring, but something where you would do it. And I would wonder, and to me, if I'm throwing this out there, in terms of a liaison, they used to have Savio Vega go down in Puerto Rico and do those sorts of things. I'm wondering if you don't put the feelers out to Conan at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I do wonder as well. I mean, obviously they have a working agreement, Conan and TNA and Jeff Jarrett, the championship belt. But I mean, business is business. So
exactly.
Right. All right. I think we should wrap it up with our regular segment on Hulk Hogan here. Should we go out with that, or anything else you want to hit before?
I would want to hit one thing.
One thing, okay.
Because we can talk.
I just want to jump in with something. There's a passing, Tim Frankenfeld.
Yeah.
Judd the Stud was his name as a performer, and he was a manager for Christian and
Edge
early in their career.
Just Joe. There was a group called
Joe.
Generation X before there was even DX.
That's right. In the early 90s. So our condolences for his
definitely. Friends and family. And it was early passing. He's of Pennsylvania, was it? And no, definitely our thoughts and prayers. Anybody that... in the industry that we hear about the past is no definitely too soon.
Too soon, absolutely. So anyways, you have...
I want to go on this because we're talking about a little bit of fantasy booking.
Oh, that's
here.
Right. We were going to do that. We're already an hour and 45 minutes.
I know.
Back.
We will, but I just want to mention one thing because by the time this next... we record our next show, Raw will have happened.
That's
so
right.
So I just want to talk about this coming Raw. And my one... idea, which I'm quite proud of, which this is what I would be doing if for the title tournament, the finals of the title tournament going to be the main event of Raw next week, presumably, or Open Raw, I don't know. Miz and Rey Mysterio, they've already said, right? Miz and Rey Mysterio, the finals of the title tournament are going to happen, they said, next week, Vince.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, let's just presume that actually happens, that Hunter doesn't change that, okay?
Okay.
So, the way I book the end of this match, and I do this on Raw, is the main event of Raw.
Okay.
I have this match continue. We're going to have a new WWE champion here by the end of the show. Match is going. They're going back and forth. It's 15 minutes in, and all of a sudden, the lights go out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the lights go out for, like, I don't know, a minute, 30 seconds or whatever, and then...
And William Regal is at the switch?
No. And all you hear, okay, the lights are out, and all you hear is, do I have your attention now? And the lights come out, come back up, and both Miz and Ray are just knocked out.
That's good. I like that.
No winner.
I like that.
And that's and
because
that's,
that way you could schedule that match for a pay per view down the road.
Exactly. Right.
Also, it continues the cliffhanger ending,
mm-hmm.
and that's something we'll get into the next time. Is the continued adding to the creative team or the writers you call them of soap opera writers.
Yes.
But that makes sense. I really like that. Actually, you know what? Let's just quickly. I think if we're gonna do that. We'll do the fantasy booking for Hunter maybe, like you say, next episode.
Okay.
But I think we have to bring up the Comic-Con and CM Punk and Hunter.
Right, we haven't done that. Holy fuck.
Yeah, I know. We're only an hour 48 fucking minutes in.
Yeah. Well, you know, Greg the Hammer Valentine has been warmed up for an hour.
That's true.
So, so they had the Comic-Con in San Diego, California.
The biggest one, yeah.
Is that the biggest one?
That is the biggest one. It's a huge deal.
That's the one I've actually heard of, and I'm not a big Comic-Con kind of guy. But I've heard of that one. And anyway,
I was almost at it a couple times, but never got a chance to attend.
Rey Mysterio was there, of course, being from San Diego. Bret Hart was there. And Triple H. And, of course, the thing that happened...
They were doing a panel.
They were doing a panel, and then all of a sudden, with the megaphone, comes out... CM Punk going, I have a question.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And then he comes out and
the crowd cheers for him, right?
CM Punk
right?
And chants for Colt Cabana and Luke Gallows is what they've... I don't think anybody actually knows who Colt Cabana and Luke Gallows are. I think it's starting to just become a
like
something that they've been trained to chant.
Like Zack Ryder.
Yeah, a lot like Zack Ryder, right?
Yeah.
No, anyway. I don't think... Nobody chants for Ryder, though. They're just Ryder signs.
That's true. There's some chance, but that's just in Long Island.
I was going to say, those chants haven't happened. Yeah, I was going to say. So anyway. So he gets out, he asks about Zack Ryder, actually.
Well, he does. The first thing he does is House Life in Fantasyland and to Hunter. And Hunter says, or the Dream World or something like that. And Hunter goes,
Fantasyland, he says, yeah.
Fantasyland. Yeah, and Hunter goes, House Life in the Unemployment Line. And Punk's like, it's fine, actually. I'm not even looking for a job.
Yeah, I'm not really looking for a job. He's got the belt in his backpack.
Hilarious. And then he says, first thing I'd like to know is, when are you going to put Zack Ryder on TV? Now, Punk did this last week on the Art of Wrestling podcast with Colt Cabana. And also,
Zack Ryder was on
Zack
that.
Zack Ryder was, and him were on together, Colt Cabana. I haven't had a chance to listen to it, but that would be fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
So I absolutely will, and I hope everybody else will, after listening to our podcast, listen to another great one.
Yes.
Yes.
But so that's what he says, you know, and the big thing and what it's hilarious because this is the stance of the company's stance in terms of Hunter has said this. Cena was talking about this a lot, and I think Vince even touched on it too. Mm-hmm. Is that you know
he did, yeah. He said he's an ingrate.
Well, he's an ingrate because he won't perform
exactly
for all of you.
Exactly.
And Cena was going, you know what? That's the day that you walk out
well,
on each and every
is,
one of them. But to
Hunter,
me, what
Hunter said to him, "I'll call you or you call me. It's a new regime. It's a different thing. It's not the same. We want you back in the ring."
Yes.
And CM Punk goes, "Well, I'm sure Stephanie has my number," and he walks out.
Yeah.
Now,
it's
obvious like this is an like the thing is the crowd and to the some people watching.
Didn't Hunter make a crack about Beth then though? I think he did.
I think he did,
I
yeah.
Think he did.
But the thing is that he's not dating Beth, is he? Because Beth is married.
Punk?
Yes. I know she was in his apartment during an interview. Beth is married.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I guess, okay, whatever.
I don't start rumors here, folks.
No, you're just nodding when I ask you a question.
Punk is fucking Beth. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she's another diva.
Yes.
He has done well, folks, right from the time in ROH, dude. He's done well.
Brother.
So the thing is, he left. Now, this is obviously set up, but to a lot of people, they're going, is this Punk, this continues, the Punk is a outsider, is a rebel, is
bow,
a...
Bow, bow,
yeah.
Bow, bow.
But is that he doesn't play by other people's rules gimmick that he has going on right now.
What did Jim Cornette
say? But it's obviously set up.
What did Jim Cornette say?
I don't know.
An angle can work every how many years?
15, something like that.
Yeah.
We're a 15-year anniversary.
Of
we
what?
We actually...
W-O.
We actually today watched the Legends of Roundtable. We're not going to have a chance to talk about
no,
it.
No, we're not. We will next show. We will next show.
But with... Actually, oh, shit, there's somebody on... Hayes was on the panel, and he wants to talk about what...
Oh,
just fuck. Okay.
Okay.
What?
What do you want, Mike? What do you want?
Well, the NWO was the New World Order.
Jesus.
Why do you keep going to him? Why are you even here, Mike?
You'd think after all those years he'd have something more to say.
That's true. He's a free bird. What's your excuse?
I don't know.
But anyway, Punk to Comic-Con, the thing was, is that Vince was talking about, Cena was talking about, okay, and then Punk leaves, and Hunter, okay, says, what I don't understand is that he doesn't want to perform
and you're cheering for him.
For all of you, and you're cheering for him. So he was telling Punk.
And he told this passionate about, he goes on for about 2 minutes saying that, you know, talking about how Brett
went on the road for Interviews of the Year,
yeah.
Blah, blah, right? Yeah.
The crowd actually clapped very politely for him at the end. Like, he said it passionately and with respect, and it came across well, and he actually managed to turn the crowd to some degree on his side. So much more than Cena was able to do, or than Vince was able to do. So
I don't know. I don't know about that. I think way more than Vince. I don't know so much about Cena. It's a different... there were, what, I don't know, 50 people there?
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, it's a different deal. But the way I look at it, though, is that when it's a new regime. Well, Hunter's just spouted the same fucking bullshit we heard 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
So it's not a new regime.
No, that's true.
That's the part that I look at it. So they're saying, well, this is new, this is different. Well, it's a different person.
But that storyline again. It's a new regime. That storyline again, proving that this was something that is part of the storyline.
I don't know why he doesn't perform for all of you. That storyline again.
All of this was storyline.
But the storyline is
consistent.
The storyline
that it's a new regime is storyline.
No, but it's inconsistent is all I'm saying. Yeah. It was storyline when Cena said it. It was storyline when Vince says it. It's a new regime. Now it's storyline that Hunter says it. Well, okay, we'll meet the new regime, same as the old regime. Right? Like, hello.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, same shit, different McMahon.
That's true.
Right?
Different
so.
McMahon. But it is interesting to see on the panel to see Bret Hart next to Hunter because their relationship has always been portrayed as extremely contentious. Maybe, hopefully they
all... Time heals all wounds, right? And you know, that honestly, in reality, what would
Hunter's
be...
Hunter's the guy who set up, who is, you know... Told Sean to do
well,
the
Well, there is
the
that,
job,
but
right?
what I'm saying is it reality behind the scenes, honestly, what I think the best probably 1-2 punch for the future of the WWF, WWE, is...
It's only
is
WWF
that,
to Vince.
Well, yes, right? You'll get your chance at the WWF title. But, or to be WWF champion is what he said. Vince and Pat Patterson booked the boom.
Mm-hmm.
The expansion, as they call it, of WWE.
Mm-hmm.
That was from 85 to whatever, 92. That was Vince and Pat Patterson. And then Brother Love had his hand in there every once in a while and such. But Hunter and Brett.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, thumbs up to that.
Oh, yeah.
Right, that to me is the same 1-2 punch.
That's
as those
the same
1-2
punch. You have your guy who can... With your finish guy, your guy who can put together matches.
You have this elaborate idea. You've got your big idea guy, and then you've got Brett, who's acting the Pat Patterson role, who's the realist,
yeah.
Who's coming back and going, what about this, what about this, poking all the holes,
yeah.
Right, and saying, what about this, what about this, what if we finish it like this? And then, boom, you've got your beautiful... I don't know that
Pat
that'll ever happen.
Pat Patterson's one
right?
of the best finish guys in the history of the business. Bret Hart's up there as well. And if I was to go to somebody, book me from the beginning to end an interesting and unique Royal Rumble, Bret Hart's a guy who I would trust, like Pat Patterson, to put that together. So
well,
that
right.
was part of that was his upcoming role, and I know he wants to have some role, but doesn't want to be on the road too much. That would be just awesome. So let's hope. But, just to go back to the Punk thing, it is we've heard that it's going to continue off camera. He is continuing to get his name out there. He is trying to be on some
Chicago Independent Show.
Yes, an independent show where he showed up and there was a performer, Gregory Irons, who had Russell Cocabana, and he's had a cerebral palsy and can barely move his right arm.
Yeah.
He's a small guy, and Punk comes out and he goes, I'm going to apologize in advance for my language here. You're fucking awesome. Right, and points at him, and hugs the guy, and he and Cabana put the guy on his shoulders and they lift him around, and
yeah.
And Punk is still continuing to be out there with the WWE's consent, obviously, so that's great. By the way, two tweets that were amazing. Number one, where he said that the champ is here and had the belt, his belt in the fridge. That mm-hmm. was on ice, so to speak, folks. It was awesome. And his other tweet where he said, on my couch, about to put the belt on the line against Piston Honda.
Yes, that was fucking tremendous.
Yes.
So I think what we just had a couple. I put this out to our Twitter. Let's end on this. We'll end on the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week, but we'll end on with
then we'll bounce.
A couple things here because I put the I asked our wonderful people on Twitter. We're at We Talk Wrestling to pose some questions, and actually we had a whole bunch. Probably more than we can answer now that we've rambled and rambled, but I have about six of them here. Mr. Anderson, 1-900-909.
You notice how little TV 9900.
Well, yeah.
It's been a good show.
It's been an awesome show. And 1-900-909-9900. Kids get parents' permission before calling.
Mm-hmm.
But both of them, and more, there's two to name, but they were the first two, so I thought I'd name them. Asked, what do we think about the general manager, the Raw general manager situation? What, if anything, will happen tomorrow regarding the Raw general manager?
Tomorrow. This is my viewpoint on it.
Okay.
Okay. The Raw general manager thing has long since run its course. It doesn't have a momentum as something they can draw.
No.
So therefore you squash it immediately.
Yeah.
Number two is here's a storyline which you've been built up for months. And you can probably do something with it now, revealing who that was, and Hunter revealing it in some sort of fight back and forth even. It can be made into something more. So it's the fact that it's dead right now, but it seems a shame to throw away months worth of storyline and something that you probably can build into something, even if it's not a huge deal, it's something.
Okay.
So I'm 50-50 on it.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
See, I would
lean towards squishing it tomorrow, though.
I would say 50-50 on it as well because I can think of one of two ways you go with it. So that's a 50-50. Yeah. You know, Hunter just comes out, says, you know what, as a new regime, take that computer down. We don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
You know what, anonymous general manager, you're fired.
Yep.
You know, or you know, we...
And
you,
we never
you know
hear
what?
Of it again.
Yeah, you know what? We relieve you of your duties. Maybe that's Hunter's
your future
phrase,
endeavored.
Right? Yeah, maybe, exactly, yeah. Right? Who knows? That might be a better way of putting it, actually, future endeavored,
yeah.
Because that would play into a little bit of the storyline there. Or...
I wish they had told Vince he was future endeavored.
That would have been awesome. That actually,
ruled.
You know what? We wish you all the board wishes you all the best in your future
endeavors.
That
oh,
would have been...
Christ,
that would have been... You know what? That would have been the line to say instead of, I love you, Pop.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been the line.
That would have been the line.
That
would have
been the ending line. The other way that I put it, though, is rather than you're fired or future endeavored, is, you know, maybe he goes to do that and the general manager, you know, protests by a Michael Cole, you can't do that, blah, blah. Okay, you know what? I'm getting pretty sick of this. And you know what? We got some problems to work out. I won't fire you as long as you meet me in the middle of this ring at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Okay? That's it. It's Feast or Fired here. It's either, you know, not John Cena Feast or Fired, but it's either reveal yourself, reveal
it. Is there any case on a pole in this piece of fire?
Build it and reveal itself. Yeah, no. Build it, freed or fired. That was a John
freed
Cena.
Or fired. Yeah.
Build itself to reveal it at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
As an extra special deal for
who
SummerSlam?
Who is
going to
show up and be that GM?
Holy.
I like that.
Or this
because
kibosh it.
Because you know what? You only have to do, all you have to do is have Hunter do that, and then you have to have the announcers bring it up over a couple times over the show.
And, yeah,
and
or when they do the rundown of it, right?
You don't have to do a lot on it, and, but it gives something an intrigue. I prefer that to squishing it, actually. That's a good idea.
Well, no, the only reason I don't prefer that to squishing it is
because what do you do afterwards?
Then you got to reveal it, and then you got to have a fucking another authority figure.
You got to do something
so
afterwards.
I'm so sick of that bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have...
That's the thing that I'm...
Hunter is going to be the authority figure now.
Yeah.
But it seems like a little bit of a different... Okay, we're going to go a little different way with the authority
maybe.
Figure. If you got this... Well, maybe, maybe not. Well, time will tell. But if you have that, and you have your same old, this is just the new fucking general manager, you're going to have two things that are... It's just overkill. So I prefer squishing it on Monday and being done with it and moving on. But if you are going to reveal it and it's going to be like a McFoley or, you know, at SummerSlam and you know, okay, maybe that's okay. It's just that you don't really need a GM if Hunter is going to be there being, like, the CEO owner
guy, right? But here's
guy,
the thing,
because
I'm so sick and tired of the constant general manager.
Well, it's,
we're
15 years in or close to that now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, there was when Jack Tunney was there two times a year, maybe, if that.
Yeah, two, three times, yeah, maybe.
One time a year or something. When there was something so big that you needed that authority figure, that was there, but it wasn't an overriding, done to death, boring storyline that was on every single show, and I'm
well,
sick of it.
Every single show since Brett screwed Brett in late 97.
Yeah.
You know, and even if you want to go further than that, with the NWO and Eric Bischoff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, really, again, it's 15
well, I
years.
Mean, you had it on, you know, TNA's had a version of it. ECW had a version
no,
of it.
I don't care about TNA.
You know, but I'm just saying it's fucking been everywhere for
I'm
so
I'm just
long.
Saying, though, we've seen this now for 15 years.
Like Cyrus was, you know.
It is time for something new.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're begging for.
And I think
for.
What's something
and
new
this
is to not
doesn't
have
do
one.
It. Exactly. That's why kiboshing it is why. I like the idea of SummerSlam, it gets really good. I would have liked that.
How about
that,
this? This gets into what, how we didn't want a fantasy
now,
book. But how about this? He wants to reveal who the general manager is. And the guy that shows up who's the general manager at SummerSlam is Vince.
Well, yeah. So, you're fired. Big
well,
deal.
Not necessarily. Now Vince maybe has some sort of out and,
yeah,
and it can... Well...
If I can be honest with you...
I don't know.
That's dumb.
I don't know if... Dumb.
That's
it's
dumb.
Not. It's just. It's a. It's another.
I don't
idea.
Mind
I,
the idea.
It may not be. I don't. I'm not saying it's what I would do. I'm just throwing it out there.
I know, and I'm just telling you that's dumb. I'm okay with the idea that Hunter comes out and says, "You guys want to know who the Raw general manager was? It was Vince all along."
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. Too.
And you know, it was Vince. He just wanted to be behind the scenes. That's another thing.
That's another reason
the board of directors were concerned because it seemed kind
of
strange
that
to us.
That makes a lot
so
of
you
sense
people, you don't need to worry about Vince here. You don't need to worry about Vince being the general manager.
I like that.
Take it down, guys. And then
like
he takes
too.
It
like
down.
Say, it is a balance between throwing out a something that maybe can get a couple people to pay some dollars at SummerSlam,
yeah.
Or squishing it. So it's,
yeah, exactly.
You know, 50-50.
So,
all right, let's bounce. Are
Hulk Hogan.
Oh, Hulk Hogan.
Bullshit of the week. Well, no, shut up.
Actually, what do you have to say about Hulk?
Hulk Hogan was a wrestler.
Didn't you say that about somebody else?
I don't know. Why is he here?
I don't know.
Anyway, the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week.
Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week. Andre the Giant once tried to check his oil.
Yes.
But it hurt because his fingers were so large.
I see. Well, that might hurt, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Well, your mother complains about my fingers.
Yeah, yeah. Can't feel
a
thing.
And they're not even that large.
Can't feel a thing. But that is a wonderful Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week.
And it's a recent one, folks.
It's recent.
It's
exactly.
Recent.
That's the nice part.
Week.
He just said it this past week, so that's beautiful. All right. Well, we're going to know it's Mo at WeTalkPodcast.com to send Mo an email. Addie, Addie, at WeTalkWrestling.com. As I mentioned, we're at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. WeTalkWrestling.com, the website. That's where all our blogs
contact
are.
Contact information's on there as well.
Contact information, blogs, shows. Show archives, the whole nine yards. We're all on there. So thanks so much, everyone, for
Twitter?
Checking us out. I said Twitter already.
Yeah, okay.
You dumb shit.
You said no show Twitter. Did you say our individual?
No. But.
You dumb shit.
In the meantime, and in between time,
oh,
that's
see?
It. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.